Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
AP Network News. I'm Ed Donahue. The mother of a six-year-old playmate killed by Lionel Tate appeared in court today in West Palm Beach, Florida, at Tate's hearing. Dawise Eunuch Paul spoke in court just minutes ago.
Lionel, you destroyed my baby. Lionel beat her so badly that no mother on this earth should ever have to live with the knowledge of those 35 injuries.
Eunuch Paul wants Tate to publicly acknowledge that her daughter's death was not an accident.
Last conversation I remember having with Lionel was when Lionel came to my house and asked me for Tiffany's toys since Tiffany was dead.
Eunuch Paul spoke moments before Tate was scheduled to plead guilty to second-degree murder. Tate, who was 12 when he fatally beat Tiffany Eunuch almost 5 years ago, was expected to enter his plea, which would finalize his release after 3 years in prison. There has been a delay in the Martha Stewart stock fraud trial. A federal judge in New York postponed the testimony of the government's star witness. Stewart's lawyers say prosecutors withheld vital information about Douglas Faneuil's story. Faneuil sold Martha Stewart's share of Imclone stock 3 years ago. Tonight, the Democratic candidates for president will be in South Carolina for a debate. The candidates have been spread out trying to cover the seven states holding primaries and caucuses Tuesday. John Kerry received the endorsement of South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn today.
I'm deeply honored that Jim Clyburn has decided to join me in this fight to have a government that is on the side of working people in America.
Howard Dean is campaigning in Michigan today. He says he doesn't need any to win any of the seven states Tuesday to keep his campaign alive. The Michigan primary is a week from Saturday. The planes involved in a prisoner exchange between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah have arrived at their destinations. The White House is calling on Palestinian leaders to clamp down on terrorist groups after today's suicide bombing in Jerusalem. 10 people were killed. 7 American soldiers have died in an explosion in Afghanistan. Central Command says a weapons stockpile exploded. This is AP Network News. The comments made by former Weapons Inspector David Kaye are entering the politically charged debate over President Bush's decision to go to war in Iraq. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says the president went to war in large part because of Saddam Hussein's clear defiance of UN resolutions.
The president's judgment to go to war was based on the fact that Saddam Hussein had for 12 years defied the international community, refused to account for large stockpiles of weapons. Nobody could count on the goodwill of Saddam Hussein to tell us that he did not have anthrax or botulinum toxin. He didn't even try.
Rice was on NBC's Today Show. Kaye says he thought an outside inquiry would be important to determine why intelligence failed and how it could be improved. 5 Saudi security agents are dead after an exchange of fire with suspected terrorists. The Interior Ministry says it happened during a raid on a house in Riyadh, the Saudi capital. One suspect is in custody. An official describes that person as a suspected terrorist. Hundreds of BBC employees have walked off the job in London. They're protesting the resignation of Greg Dyke.
I am today announcing that I've resigned from the BBC. My position as Director General has inevitably been compromised by the criticisms of BBC management in the Hutton report.
Dyke apologized for the BBC's errors in a report that the British government sexed up a pre-war dossier about weapons in Iraq. He is the second top official at the BBC to resign. 3 teenage boys have been released from the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. They were suspected of supporting the Taliban. They're the youngest of the suspected members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, held since the start of the war in Afghanistan. The Pentagon says the three no longer posed a threat to the U.S. Starting today, the government is requiring telemarketers to identify themselves on caller IDs. It's the newest regulation related to the setup of the so-called Do Not Call registry. Such calls had shown up on caller ID as out of area. It should boil down to the strongest team on Super Bowl Sunday.
No secrets. That's the way Patriots coach Bill Belichick sees Sunday's Super Bowl game with Carolina. He credits the extra week between the conference finals and the final game, extra time to view game films.
We didn't play Carolina at all, but with longer time, we've had a chance to see all their games, you know, through the course of the season. So the more familiar you are with the team, the more you've seen of them. In this case, though, the time, I think, gave us an opportunity to, you know, pretty much see everything they've done this year, and I'm sure they've, you know, seen everything we've done.
Which takes it down to execution and avoiding mistakes to win the NFL championship. Covering the Super Bowl, Dave Lebesky, Houston.
Chef Richard Norberg is good at what he does. Unfortunately, he's too good. Norberg was fired from his job in Sweden because he attracts too many customers. He works at a cafeteria at an engineering company in central Sweden. Norberg was told by the company workers have had to wait too long in line and people can't choose where they want to sit. Nordberg's most popular dishes were Swedish pancakes, pea soup, and pork chops. I'm Ed Donahue, AP Network News.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly. Joining me now is Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits. Brenda, I thought this time we would play a little food and wine association.
Okay, Doug, I'm game.
All right, I'll give you the food. You tell me the great wine to go with it, okay? How about duck breast?
Let's do a Spanish pirato. How about ambrugge?
Sounds good. How about sea scallops wrapped in bacon?
Crisp Pinot Grigio, nice and crisp and refreshing.
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst? Well, that's not a wine. Oh, you got to do beer with bratwurst. How about Utenos, Lithuanian beer, or better yet, flag porter. Yummy.
Lamb chops.
California Zinfandel. Dash California Zinfandel would be perfect with lamb chops.
Now, one everybody would want to know about, pizza.
Oh, lots of options for pizza. You could do a Primitivo. You could do a Sangiovese out of Tuscany, Italy.
I bet you've got one for sushi, too, don't you?
Champagne or sparkling wine. It's a great pair.
I knew you'd have the answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, located 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
This KNRC traffic report is brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. I'm Darren Copeland. Trying to clean up an accident, Highway 7, just east of I-25, just west of Brighton. Watch for that. Watch for detours through there. I-25 northbound at Founders Parkway should be up and out of the way. We do have construction for you both directions. Federal Boulevard right at 64th. John Elway's going to the payoffs. They'll help pay off your current vehicle, get you into a new 2004. Same low, no haggle prices, same price match, plus a money-back guarantee. John Elway, honest. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Topping out at above average again, our high 50, our average 44. We're going to start out mostly cloudy, but then those clouds thin out. We're going to see some light snow in the mountains, also some gusty winds there. And for tonight, partly cloudy, down to 28. Warmer for tomorrow, 55 and sunshine, but cooling back off for our weekend. Mostly cloudy for Saturday, chance of snow, cooler 35, partly cloudy and 35 for Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Stanley Greenberg. If the name isn't immediately familiar to you, he was Bill Clinton's principal pollster. He's written a new book called The Two Americas. Remember, the Reds, the Blues, we are evenly split in our opinions on how this country should go. The Two Americas, our current political deadlock. And how to break it, we'll be talking to him later in the show. Tomorrow, put it down on your calendars, Kevin Phillips, his new book, American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. That by itself makes it controversial, but what makes Kevin Phillips' work even more controversial is that he is a respected Republican strategist. So for him to take off after President Bush, very interesting indeed. Things must have crossed the Rubicon. We'll be talking with him next week. The respected writer James Fallows, who writes in the Atlantic Monthly, wrote a piece that's a blockbuster called Blind into Baghdad. We'll be talking with him. And David Denby will be live with us in studio. He is the movie critic for The New Yorker magazine, but we're not going to be talking about films, although we might. Actually, his new book is called American Sucker, and this is where he suckered himself into putting everything he had into the tech boom. He was going to try and buy out his ex-wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, for their Manhattan apartment, and he wound up losing everything, his shirt, his underpants, his jockstrap, you name it, it's all gone. We'll be talking with David Denby. That's next week. So we've got a lot cooking, and we've got a lot cooking today. I want to get started here with a few things. First of all, Gary Hart, as I have predicted, do I get some high marks here for intuition? I didn't think he was going to be running for the Senate, and apparently it doesn't seem that likely that he will. He will likely not run, and this is according to a senator from New Jersey who is high up in the Democratic Party, and I didn't think he would either. And they talked about a matter of economics without explaining it. But, you know, Gary Hart is probably not an independently rich man, and he probably does very well in private life, and he would undoubtedly at this point in his life have to take an enormous reduction in order to serve as a senator. And maybe he doesn't want to do what you have to do to get elected senator, and particularly against a guy like Ben Campbell. So maybe it's not going to be an easy run for him, and he decided it's not worth it. One of the things we've been talking about The Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Oh, please. I know everybody's, all the recipes in the paper today are Super Bowl, and they all have a lot of cholesterol in them. There's a lot of pork, and there's a lot of beef, and there's a lot of beans, and there's a lot of all that kind of, you know, it's a cholesterol packing experience. Anyway, we've talked about the fact that MoveOn.org has rejected the Bush in 30 Seconds commercial, The Winner, an ad done by Charlie Fisher of Denver. It's called Child's Pay, and it shows all these little kids dressed as adults, you know, like a garbage worker, a supermarket checker. I forget what all the occupations were, but they're little kids doing adults' work because they're the ones who are going to have to pay for this hideous deficit that we're in. And it's a powerful and very witty, it's a very well-done ad. And, of course, the Super Bowl won't, the CBS will not take it. Keep emailing them. The last count I heard was something like 350,000 people had emailed them about not taking the MoveOn.org ad, not running it during Super Bowl. But everybody who's anybody wants their ads to run during Super Bowl if they can pay the heavy freight, because they think it will give them huge brand awareness. So here's what the Super Bowl is running. They're running this year a lot of Viagra and the other, there are three of these meat extenders. One of them is Viagra, otherwise known as the Pfizer Riser, and there's one called Levitra. All of them like levitate you, right? These names. And then there's a third one which starts with a C, and I don't remember what that name is. So you're going to have all these, the testosterone zone, you're going to have the penis extenders in the Super Bowl. Those ads, they're going to run, right? But they're not going to run a really good political ad that makes a very hard-hitting point and that doesn't stray from the facts. That they're not going to run. So here we're going to, they're going to run beer ads, of course. Cadillac will have a presence. Cialis, C-I-A-L-I-S is the other, what do you call these drugs now? What's a good name? Erectile dysfunction drugs? You know, there are all these pills for erectile dysfunction, but I don't see any pills for brain dysfunction, such as should be shipped to the White House administration. So here's the male demographic, and what are they selling him? They're selling Cadillacs. They're selling him. I guess these guys, these testosterone-driven guys, they are packed with so much cholesterol for the Super Bowl that they can't get it up. So here are these ads for Levitra and for Viagra and something called Cialis or Cialis. I don't know how it's pronounced. C-I-A-L-I-S. Those of you who know, you can correct me. The record-breaking, the record-setting price for ads. Are you ready for this? $2.25 million, $2.25 million for a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. $2.25 million for one 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. 303-382-1150. So they've got a lot of room for White House ads. They have a lot of room for the beer ads. They have a lot of room for Viagra ads. Cadillac's going to run ads to as a branding device. But they don't have room for MoveOn.org, the winner of the MoveOn.org contest. Would you like to comment? And I think let CVS know how you feel about it and how you might or might not patronize their advertisers as a result. These are our airwaves. James Brown, 70 years old, was just arrested on charges of domestic violence. If you remember, our own Bob Green is James Brown's manager. And James Brown is 70, so I guess he can still, how you say, pack a punch. Anyway, he lives in South Carolina. He served a 2.5-year prison term after an arrest on drug and assault charges and was convicted of drug-related offenses in 1998. He was granted a pardon by the state in May. He's known as a godfather of soul, and unless I'm mistaken, our own, KNRC's own Bob Green, is now his manager. We had a call, Bob, and just see what the story is. Did he really? He's 70 years old. Can he do that? Is he? Old, is he still got the? See, well, I don't even want to go there. I have to share the story with you. Two headlines: an unintended casualty of our presence in Iraq, at home, domestic. Listen to this, and tell me what you think. The Justice Department has quietly ended a program to measure criminals' use of drugs and forecast new drug epidemics. The program is called the Arrestee Drug Abuse Monitoring System, or ADAM. It tests newly arrested criminals entering jail for narcotics violations in 35 cities. It was begun under Attorney General Edmund Meese in the Reagan administration and started in 1986. Law enforcement officials and criminal justice experts criticized ending the program, saying it was a useful tool in the battle against crime and drugs. It was widely credited for tracking the rise and fall of the crack epidemic and detecting the beginning of the meth epidemic on the West Coast. So when they had prisoners in jail on drug charges and some other charges, they would test them for drug use. And it's a shame that they can't do this. The reason that they have ceased doing this is that they don't have the money for it. Their budget has been cut completely. We have money for fighting this war in Iraq, but we don't have money for this. At the same time that the Justice Department is ending its testing of criminals for their drug use, and just to let you know, most crimes are committed when people are on drugs. Most criminals commit their crimes on drugs of one kind or another, alcohol, whatever. Bush has got a plan to encourage more schools to drug test. So they're going to drug test your kids in the fourth grade, but they don't have enough money to drug test criminals who are already booked for narcotics violations. Now, I want you to respond to me about that and tell me how many IQ points you have to devise programs like this. 303-382-1150. In other words, Bush wants more money to test your kids, little Jennifer and Amber, Scott and Joshua, in grade school, fourth grade, third grade, who knows, they could be high on meth, fifth grade, sixth grade, you never know. Meanwhile, the Justice Department, citing no money, has ended its testing of criminals for drug use to find out how much they're on, and if you go to the pokey, you can get more drugs than you can out on the street. Please comment on this. I can't believe it. 303-382-1150. Mary Jane, calling from Loveland. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. You know, to me, those ads for the penis extenders are...
I'm calling them hamburger helper because they're meat extenders.
Anyhow, to me, their pornography is compared to the ad that they won't run.
Well, there you go. We are talking about a universe that is topsy-turvy, an ad that is factual, that really gets to the heart of the matter. They won't run that ad because it's going to be controversial, but the Viagras of this world, the beer commercials, the Cadillac commercials, anything that's testosterone-driven, that they've got room for.
Yeah.
And they've got room for an ad from the White House, too, by the way.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, the men that sit around and drink beer and watch the Super Bowl are the kind that need that Viagra. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Mary Jane. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Is she right about that? Barry, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Barry.
I have a physical problem, so I don't take Viagra just to go around and be a wild guy. I'm in my late 60s.
Yeah, and so therefore?
Well, therefore, everybody doesn't take it just for recreational purposes.
Well, I think my point is that they're willing to take Viagra ads, but they're not willing to take hard-hitting political commentary or ads that are actually pretty factually based, like the MoveOn.org ad.
Well, I understand that, and you're probably right, but had Viagra not advertised, I would not have been able to know about it initially, and therefore suffer with my erectile dysfunction in my late 60s. And
Barry,
now,
you don't read a newspaper? There was plenty of coverage about Viagra before it was ever allowed to be advertised.
Well, that might be true, but I have macular degeneration, and it's really difficult to read the whole newspaper. I have a big, large magnifier, so you have no compassion for the.
Did you never go to the doctor with this problem, and he would tell you that there are actually drugs available to treat it?
I never discussed my problem with a doctor.
Why
it's
not?
It's a personal matter.
Well,
I didn't feel I should. I'm of a different age than you
it's
are.
It's a physical situation. It's something that's treatable.
Yes, I know, but people of my generation don't feel comfortable discussing it.
So if you hadn't seen an ad, like in Super Bowl, you never would have known what to do
if
about
I hadn't,
it?
If that's correct, because I have difficulty reading. It's a real problem for me.
Well,
and it is for senior citizens. I don't know why younger people don't understand that the problems seniors have are entirely different. When you get there, you will know.
Well, if I'm lucky, I will get there.
I hope you do, Enid.
Eventually, but there is also, you know, my point is, Barry, I'm certainly happy to have these drugs available for people who need them. There are lots of ways to find out about these drugs from your physician, from the radio if you can't read.
Well, I'm listening to the radio now, and I'm listening to you and letting you know how I found out about it, was on an ad.
Has it changed your life to have access to Viagra?
It changed my wife's life.
Well, and probably therefore changed yours. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Oh my goodness. Steve on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you doing today, Enid?
Doing well, Steve.
All right. I think you're missing the big picture here on the moveon.org ad on the Super Bowl. The reason why I'm glad that CBS is not playing it is not so much that I disagree with the ad, because I do. But think about it. If they start letting political ads go on, you and I both know that Bush has, I think, about $150 million in the campaign coffers right now. Do we really want to see 15 ads, political ads, during the Super Bowl?
Do we want to see 15 Viagra ads? Do we want to see 15 beer ads? Do we want to see 15 the commercial clutter that's on the air now? We don't have a choice, and these are our airwaves. Here's the beauty. Let me just say something here. The beauty of talk radio is you don't have a gatekeeper. You don't have somebody in there like a CBS honcho saying, you know what, Steve, you called yesterday, and you called a couple of shows yesterday. You can't be on today. Well, you get to come on. You get to say what you want to say. It's an uncensored forum. But these are the people's airwaves, and they are the custodians of the people's airwaves, and they are making a decision not to have, for a lot of political reasons. And if Bush wanted a counter, you know what? I say that the antidote for difficult conversations is more conversation, not less. Censorship, but more conversation. So if MoveOn.org were allowed to run their ad, let the Bush White House pepper the airwaves. They want to pay the freight, let their ads run, a million of them.
And I can see your point, okay? But let's keep in mind, all right? We just got done last year passing campaign finance reform, which I think most of the people in this country supported, which essentially says that within 60 days of the election, these types of ads can't be on TV. So I think that people have clearly said, you know, the politics, we don't want to see that type of stuff all the time.
I'm going to tell you what happened. CBS just got a very nice ruling from the administration, and it really doesn't want to piss off the administration. I will bet you that that is part of it. So that when you had a lot of conservatives calling about the Reagan series, they buckled, but they've had at least 350,000 emails. I don't know what they had from the conservatives, and they won't budge. And I think you need to pay attention for that with CBS.
Okay. And I will. But let's be fair about this. When Bill Clinton was in office, I mean, there was no Bush policies in effect, and CBS didn't run political ads during the Super Bowl then either.
They have run controversial ads in the past.
I'm not saying not controversial. I'm saying political. I mean, the
They actually did run some political ads, as I recall. Didn't they run ads saying, just recently, I think maybe in the last or the next to last Super Bowl, where if you condone drug usage, you're supporting terrorism.
Political ad, Enid.
Steve, that is a political ad. That was put out by the White House. So.
Well, I agree, but what I'm saying is if you look across the spectrum of political parties in this country, okay, both Democrats and Republicans, the people.
That's not the issue. The issue here is these are our airwaves, and we deserve to be heard. And the custodians of the airwaves, CBS, groups like that, I think that they ought to be running ads that are good, even if provocative. I think that would be a more honest approach. Tammy in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome. thank you. What I'm calling about is the drug testing in the schools.
Yeah.
And I just think it's interesting how in history as well as right now, the president is able to write out his agenda before he even gets into the White House in his book, Road to the White House, where he outlines the super predator. And I don't know if...
Are you talking about Bush?
Yes.
But what does this have to do with drug testing? I'm not following you.
Oh, the super predator he described the super predator as our children, being our children, and I think that this is just...
Another version of that?
Kind of.
Okay, I thank you for the call. President Bush has called for a tenfold increase in federal spending for drug testing at schools, could boost the number of schools that conduct random tests. But more schools are likely to apply for drug testing money if Congress approved Bush's plan. The cost of drug testing has deterred some districts when you're trying to choose between drug testing and buying textbooks. Many schools choose textbooks. Why are we testing kids in schools? Would you tell me that? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
Come on, Lenny, let's hit the slopes.
I don't wanna. Last time we did this, I broke a lot of bones.
You know, Mike Newland once said, genius is perseverance in disguise.
I was in traction for 3 weeks.
Do you think your business bankers at First National Bank of Colorado balk in the face of a new challenge?
You told me to ski off a cliff. I landed in Utah.
Lenny, the reason you love banking with them is because you admire their tenacity.
At First National Bank of Colorado, we have a strong history of tackling problems on the local level while providing the national reach needed to solve Denver's unique business challenges. For everything from cash management to commercial loans, trust the business bankers at FNBC to use honesty, integrity, and good old-fashioned hard work to get it done.
You're right. I'm going to attack this slope the way they attack problems.
Lenny?
What?
Watch out for that tree.
That's going to bruise.
For all your commercial banking needs, turn to the experts at First National Bank of Colorado. To set an appointment, call 303-308-3860.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1228 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we'll be joined by the former Clinton pollster, Stanley Greenberg, talking about the two Americas and how we can unlock this deadlock between the Reds and the Blues in this country. Meanwhile, I can't believe this. Two different stories on two different days. Here's the New York Times. The Justice Department has quietly ended a program to measure criminals' use of drugs and forecast new drug epidemics. Apparently, it's been a fairly successful program. And here it is. You know, you get booked into the pokey on drugs or any other charges, and they will test you. Many of the crimes committed, most of them, in fact, according to the statistics I have seen, have been committed when the person is high on something. But now there's no money for this. A number of law enforcement officials and drug experts think that this has been a very good program. Ending this program, drug experts say, is a misallocation of resources in the fight against drugs. The government is paying $50 million a year through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration for a household survey on drug use. The survey asks people to report drug abuse voluntarily and does not require urine tests as the jail program does. So here you are, you're booked in, and apparently this has been a pretty useful device, but it's not going to be done anymore because there isn't any money for it. In the meanwhile, the president is asking for a huge increase in the budget. He's calling for a tenfold increase in federal spending for drug testing at schools that could boost the number of schools that conduct random drug tests of students. Why should schools do this? It's not like your students are piloting an airplane, piloting a train, piloting a bus, or doing something that could bring somebody else down. Is it the school's responsibility to monitor drug usage? And why are we turning our school? You know, you walk into a school now, a lot of these high schools, you've got to walk past metal detectors.
These are like armed encampments. These are little prison camps for kids who are in the testosterone zone, and here's more drug testing. If they spend as much time trying to teach these kids as they do trying to test them for drugs, maybe we'd have smarter students. Please comment 303-382-1150 for a good time. Call Enid. And by the way, I would like to hear from people who've never called the talk show before, who don't call us very often. I would like to hear some new voices. You will hear, you can affect the dialogue. It's virtually a free phone call. You will probably talk to or be heard by more people than you will probably meet in the whole rest of your life. And if you're on the net and you're listening to us, you can always email me, Enid@knrcradio.com. Enid@knrcradio.com. Preston, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston. I want to thank you. I got a copy of the Sun magazine, and your letter to the editor referencing me and KNRC is published in it, so thank you very much for that.
Sure thing. My pleasure. I wanted to mention that I remember when Hillary Clinton was trying to promote some new kind of health care system, that quite a few political ads were running during that period against her and destroying that project. And I think much of the media basically amounts to a political advertisement for a lot of the establishment, everything from JAG and movies that are made by Secretary of Navy, like the Rules of Engagement, things like that. It's constant political advertising towards us. So if we move on to get a little slot, I think would be fair. But regarding the testing,
and they're willing to pay the freight. They're willing to stand in line and pay their $2.25 million for a 30-second spot.
You know, more evidence of the so-called liberal media at work.
Right, exactly right. Although it may work for them in that they've gotten so much publicity because CBS has refused
to
accept the spot that maybe they will actually get more publicity as a result.
That's right. And also, I've signed on to the petition and called myself, called CBS. But anyway, regarding the testing, you know, it's so ironic because George Bush's father was on the board of directors of Eli Lilly, the maker of Prozac, and I'm sure he's connected with other drug makers and Novartis and all these other kind of corporate shamans who are getting kids
George Bush Sr. is on the board of Eli Lilly?
He was. He left it right before he was elected president, because, you know, there are some rules around that.
Mm-hmm.
So he stepped aside. And that's kind of curious when you stop and think about it. The former head of the Central Intelligence Agency involved with a corporation dispensing psychoactive drugs to the population. You know, you'd think if some head of the KGB was doing the same in Russia, it may raise a few eyebrows. But we do it here, and we put our kids on the, you know, three-year-olds who are putting on these drugs that they're selling. See if they're on pot.
Like,
that's a problem.
Like,
they're
really
not making any profit.
There you go, Preston. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Jim, calling from Denver. Hi, you live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm calling about the drug testing in schools. It's pretty ironic, you know. It seems that the Fourth Amendment's gone. What has ever happened to it? You know, these kids haven't committed any crimes. They haven't done anything.
Why are they being monitored for drugs? I mean, I can understand. I'm not thrilled with the idea. Do you know I once had to take a drug test to do some talk radio at a station? It was part of their hiring policy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can we tell the difference anyway in Enid's case?
You feel violated anyway. You know, the drug war is a big sham anyway. If somebody could fix that whole
problem. But what is the right? You know, we have accepted it. People don't even question it anymore. Their kids are being drug tested in high school or grade school. I think it's preposterous. It's a complete invasion of privacy. It's not the school's business. It's something that between the parents and the kids, and the parents have so given up on raising their kids, and kids have turned into such little attitude-ridden animals that nobody's got any, you know, nobody can ride herd on them in a lot of cases, so they're happy to let the schools drug test these kids, and they're happy to push them off to the pokey if they found that their urine has got in the wrong zone.
Well, it's typical of Republicans because, you know, you mess with the Second Amendment, they all lose their minds, but, you know, they want to peek into your bedrooms and what's your life and what you're taking and what you're doing and what you're reading, and it's ridiculous.
And what you're, and how you're...
It's Orwellian is what it is.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Thank you for the call, Jim. And how you're peeing, they want to know. They want to know the contents here. John in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, just call about the drug testing. So I think it's ridiculous that they even think, you know, just a random drug testing. I mean, I feel that, you know, if it's a problem child, yes, you know,
But it's not the school's business to test your kid. It's your, if you think your kids are on drugs, you as a parent need to deal with that issue.
And I don't want my son going to school one day and have making good grades and doing well. Just in one day, just get picked out of class just to go pee. That's just ridiculous.
I agree with you, and I thank you for the call. Here's the other refinement they have on this. They're taking drug-sniffing dogs. Did you see the CBS report on this? They have drug-sniffing dogs, and they take them into schools. Now, there are no standards for these drug-sniffing dogs. There's been a whole industry of breeders selling what they say are trained dogs to sniff, but a lot of these dogs cannot tell a fire hydrant from a marijuana plant, and they are so they sniff kids, and then when they search the kids, there's absolutely nothing on them, but the kid is blackballed as a process, and these dogs are incompetent to do the jobs. And let me just tell you something. Can I tell you, getting off the airplane in Venice? As soon as you get your bags off the carousel, they have dogs right in there. And if the dogs go to your luggage and start nosing around, you hope you don't have any kibble in there. If they start going into your luggage and start nosing around, that's it. Then they're going to start to search your luggage. But it was amazing because I don't think they do it that way. At least I'm not aware of it in this country. Paul, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, are you talking to me?
I am. Welcome.
Oh, I'm great. I couldn't tell if you had said my name or not. I wanted to talk about the Viagra ads in the Super Bowl as opposed to the MoveOn.org thing.
Yes.
You know, in my opinion, I think that's a completely financial decision on their part.
They're both willing to pay the same amount of money.
But
you want to buy a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. It's going to cost you, no matter who you are, $2.25 million.
True, but the MoveOn.org, how many spots are they looking at total? I mean,
I don't know what the spot buy would be on the MoveOn.org, but they were rejected, so that never got that far.
Yeah, see, and I just don't see that as being
amazing. No, they didn't. They did not reject it on financial grounds. They didn't say, you know what, you're not buying enough spots, we're not going to let you in.
They said,
we're not letting you in because your subject matter is something we don't want to air. That's what they said.
Well, that's basically, that could be partially due to their audience. I mean, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be watched largely by 30-plus white men. And those are men who are going to have more of a tendency.
No, they're not saying that to anybody. They didn't say to Cadillac, or they didn't say to beer distributor, or whoever else is.
Those are audiences. Those are products that are going to appeal to that audience. I mean, I understand that that's what they're saying. I'm just doubtful.
No, but that isn't
the
way. But that doesn't. It's not the way it works, Paul. The way it works is they're happy to take your money, and the more of it they can get, the happier they are. They don't say, you know, this is inappropriate, except for something like MoveOn.org. They don't say this product is inappropriate. If you can step up to the plate and you can pay the freight and they can't ding you on controversial grounds, guess what? You're in the gate. 303-382-1150. The board is just about full. One more line open. Grab it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Money Mailer. A CU student is suing the university over sexual assault allegations stemming from a recruiting party for football players and recruits. Civil suit depositions also reveal allegations of sex and a police cover-up. Starting next year, Denver residents will no longer have to sort their recycling items. People will be able to use one bin for newspapers, glass, pop cans, plastic jugs, and junk mail. Denver is one of the few cities anywhere that provides free trash collection. Mesa County deputies found the body of a teenager believed to be that of a 16-year-old boy being sought by Iowa authorities for a double homicide. Tyler Pirtle was sought after two people were discovered in his Des Moines home, dead from gunshot wounds. The driver of the car wasn't moving when officers approached it following a chase on I-70 near Grand Junction. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche head to Los Angeles tonight to take on the Kings. Avs and Kings tied in December when they last got together. Look for Money Mailer's jumbo red, white, and blue envelope arriving this week in your mailbox. Money Mailer is packed with coupons and money-saving offers from businesses in your neighborhood. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
All right, then. The first thing we'll do is divide everyone into two groups. Those of you who travel less than once a month, please turn your volume dial counterclockwise. And might I advise you to get out more? You deserve it. The rest of you, esteemed airline pilots, flight attendants, millionaires, professional athletes, congrats, you've made the cut. And should concurrently visit locatingme.com, where you'll find a service designed to aid you and your family in an emergency. When you're away, you want your family to feel confident that they could contact you at any time. And further, that they have access to pertinent medical information from any computer in the world. LocatingMe.com does this and more. And because you're a special and unique individual, if you're not completely satisfied, return your ID cards within 30 days and your entire subscription price will be refunded. No obligation. This concludes our discussion. And homebodies, you may readjust the volume as you see fit. Visit LocatingMe.com, where you'll never be out of touch.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Taco Bell, and really a pretty busy drive right now. First in Madison, watch for an injury accident. Bannock and Evans, we got a bit of a problem, as well as Ohio and University, and still closed. Highway 7 east of I-25 and west of Brighton for a very tragic accident. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, get the new cheesy bean and rice burrito. It's freshly prepared, just like all your Taco Bell favorites. When you want quality, think outside the bun. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds, we'll have a couple of more really nice days before temperatures plummet once again and snow showers come back into the forecast. We'll top out around 50 for the high. It'll be mainly clear, a little breezy tonight with a low of 28, a little breezy tomorrow with a high of 54, then turning sharply colder with a few snow showers on Saturday and a high of 33. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the new year, new you makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew Store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew Store. For complete rules, stop at the Aspen Grove Management Office.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street is bouncing back a little. Indexes not only coming back from their lows of the day, but two of the three main averages are now positive. The Dow is up 1 point, S&P 500 up a tenth of a point, the NASDAQ is still down 23 points, more than a percent. Decliners on the big board are still leading advancers by about a 2-to-1 margin. Volume on the big board heavy, 1.3 billion shares. Traders are loving McDonald's. That stock is one of the biggest percentage gainers on the Dow. A.G. Edwards has upgraded Mickey D's stock, saying it likes management's new focus on effectively using the assets it already has, rather than fixating on just growing new units. McDonald's shares up more than a half dollar. If chili is your thing, check before you eat. Hormel is recalling 100,000 pounds of chili because some of it may contain parts of a calculator. The recalled chili comes in 15-ounce cans labeled Stag Chili. Hormel stock down 3 cents. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Stanley Greenberg, Bill Clinton's principal pollster, will be joining us. He's got a book out about the two Americas, the two that are locked in deadlock combat with each other, and how to unlock that deadlock between the Reds and the Blues. I'm very interested to hear what he has to say about that. Also, just an update on Greg Dobbs. As many of you know, many of you continue to ask, he had emergency abdominal surgery. He is home now, which we're really pleased to hear. He is on the mend. It's a slow recovery, but he's moving in the right direction. So keep him in your thoughts. And it sounds like those abdominal things are kind of slow going slow to heal kinds of things, but it looks like things are moving very nicely in the right direction. So we're pleased with that and keep good thoughts going there. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I think there's one line available. Somebody take it. We're talking about drug testing in the schools. There's a lot of money for that and more. Apparently, President Bush has his way. He's calling for a tenfold increase in federal spending for drug testing at schools. What business is it of the government's, whether you're taking drugs or you're not in school? I am not advocating drug use. I mean, for me, reality, which is a word that should never be used without quotation marks around it, is drug enough, or my drug of choice is chocolate, actually. But what business is it of the schools? If you are in, I'm not thrilled about the idea of drug testing in general, but if you're in something that would endanger somebody else's life, if you're an airline pilot, for example, then maybe we test your urine once in a while. I'm not even sure I think it's great for athletes, except I guess it gives each of them unfair competition. If they want to waste their bodies, I guess it's their business. But to test in schools when we don't even have money for books a lot of the time, when we don't have enough money for education, and now President Bush is asking for a tenfold increase in drug testing, and we have these fake-o-matic drug dogs, that there's really no kind of standard for the training of these drug dogs, so that they can come around and they can incriminate your kid in school, sniffing the backpack, you know, as though the kid's got something in it, then they search, there's nothing in it, and the kid's got a black mark on his record. I think this is hideous. In the meantime, the Justice Department has ended drug testing of criminals that are booked for drug use. These are people who come into the criminal justice system because they have used drugs. The Justice Department has quietly ended this program because they don't have the money. We have the money for fighting the war, but one of the casualties of the tax cuts and of the massive amounts of money it takes to fight the war and to endure the occupation in Iraq, programs like this get cut. And where this program was useful is that it was able to track drug usage, it was able to predict drug epidemics, and so on. So the Justice Department, not going to test criminals, but Bush wants to test kids, innocent kids in school. Could you tell me what's wrong with this equation? Meanwhile, we're going to show drug ads on the Super Bowl, Viagra, oh, well, that's okay. Maybe even Ritalin, another drug. Those are okay. Beer, another drug of choice. But let there be an injection of reality. MoveOn.org ad. Forget it. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to know that the emperor is naked and wiggling around down there. Keith in Denver. Flop, flop, flop. Keith in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how's it going, Enid?
Doing well, Keith.
Okay, I have two things I'm trying to hurry up. Number one is, what happens if they do test positive? Is it going to be a black mark for the rest of their career and go into the future life?
I don't know, but it certainly isn't going to help him. And what if it shows up on your record when you're trying to go to a good college, if it gets that far, if it's not expunged from the record? I don't know how it can hurt you, although God knows, when we were in school, remember, all they threatened us with, it's going to go on your permanent record. I don't know where my permanent record.
Exactly.
But if you're going to go to a college and now everything is computers, it may really follow you and harm you.
And that's a terrible mistake. If one individual decides to experiment, I'm not condoning it, but I had experience one time, and I didn't want it to. I'm just thinking about the future. I just experienced.
What happened? What happened to you?
Nothing happened. But the point is that if I got tested while I was in sixth grade, when I had just tried it out just that one time, I mean, I would hate for it to see now.
Well, it's even worse if it's even worse that you didn't do if you didn't do drugs, but you were falsely accused of having drugs because they had those fake-o sniffer dogs.
Absolutely right. And another question is, too, is it for all schools or is it just for public schools or for...
I'm guessing it's public schools rather than private schools.
Okay.
That would be my guess. I don't think they can come into a private school and do it.
And do that. Okay, and then number two, with the Super Bowl ad, I agree with you 98% of the time, but this one thing I really don't agree with. One of the things, when I see other forms of entertainment besides radio talk regarding the movies or regarding sports, I don't really want to, I just want to have a break from politics.
Well, it's actually a really good, hard-hitting ad. Go to MoveOn.org and check it out. It's a 30-second ad, and it's called Bush in 30 Seconds, and it's a wonderful piece of work. I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Trey in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Trey.
Enid, it's not like there's going to be billions of federal dollars to be in place for providing treatment and services for these kids who get dinged by this process.
Yeah, that's right. They just get dinged, but there's nothing to do to rehab them,
yeah.
Is there?
And unlike President Bush, being a longtime cocaine user and a convicted drunken driver is not a path to the White House for most people who are caught by for this process either.
Well, when you what does this somebody say about him? He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. I mean, when you've got that kind of a family background, doing well in school was not an issue that he had to ever deal with because he always knew he would be able to do something. And in the case of his brother Neil, women who want to just have sex with him show up in his hotel rooms in Asia. They're right there at the door. He didn't even have to solicit them. So when you're a bush, I guess the world comes to your door.
Yeah, I agree with Keith. You know, kids are going to get dinged by this. There's going to be nothing in the future except getting a black mark on the record, which will increasingly follow each of us around the rest of our lives. And, you know, except by the will of God, there goes I, should be remembered by everyone. The second thing is a little issue called probable cause. I've been around people who use drugs, and I can generally tell if someone's a consistent user of drugs or not. You can actually observe things in their conduct that lets you do that. What's happening to us that we have to cast a fishing net that will accomplish nothing other than mark people?
Let me tell you something. It's a distraction. This is all a distraction. The big story is David Kaye's testimony, the weapons of mass destruction. They don't want us to know about how bad the economy is, how horrible the deficits are. Instead, you know, get high in every way. Get high on Viagra. Get high on beer. Get high on the Super Bowl. Pack yourself into a cholesterol-eating frenzy. And don't think about anything. Don't trouble your pretty little head about anything.
If you ever have a chance to talk to John Andrews, ask if he's going to increase the budget for services and treatment for kids who are substance abusers currently.
An excellent question, too.
Ask any probation officer, juvenile probation officer in a state, if the kids under caseload have adequate, effective services, and the answer is predictable.
I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Ben, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I think that the MoveOn.org commercial should be on the Super Bowl, and there's nothing in it that's really offensive. They're not saying that Bush lied about Iraq. They're not.
No, it's all factual.
Right.
And it's all beautifully done. It's a punchy. It's a very hard-hitting commercial and beautifully done.
Right. And so the other people who've called in and said that it's about entertainment value, I really don't think so. The whatever network is airing the Super Bowl, I'm not sure which one.
CBS.
Yeah, clearly wants to steer clear of any trouble with the Bush administration.
So why don't you email CBS and let them know that you think this is the wrong thing to do?
I will.
Okay,
thanks,
I thank
Enid.
You for the call. 303-382-1150. Ed in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Listen,
hi. I'm sorry you got drug tested before you were going on the radio that time, but you know, I'm thinking that might be a good idea because maybe we'll get rid of Rush that way.
Oh, my goodness. You know what
no.
I had to do? I had to avoid poppy seeds on bagels because they test as heroin or something.
Wow. I wonder what OxyContin would test as.
That's a good thought, Ed. I hold that thought. 303-322-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full-service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut and color, waxes, microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Hi, my name is Larry. I'm from Laramie. I work for a lasso manufacturer in logistics. I like linguine and looking out the window for long periods of time. My boss thinks I'm lazy. Hope I don't get laid off.
Sounds like Larry might have a thing for a Sullivan Digital Dock L Work Center. Just $99 with a free hutch at this week's Office Max Business Savings event. Also, buy one HP multipurpose case, get one free at Office Max. Unbeatable savings is our thing. What's your thing?
Guess I'd move to Chicago. Heard they got a train there called the L.
Offer ends January 31st. See store for details.
The K KNRC Community Commitment.
Are you hoping to do something creative with the new year? Take a class at the Art Students League of Denver. Learn drawing, oil painting, wood carving, wheel throwing, printmaking, and more. Classes are offered for the experienced artist as well as the beginner, and schedules and class lengths vary. Inspire your inner artist and call the Art Students League of Denver at 303-778-6990. That's 778-6990, or go online to www.asld.org.
When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button, and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live on yours. Until 3 o'clock, Stanley Greenberg, Bill Clinton's principal pollster, will be joining us to talk about the deadlock in those of us who are... The deadlock in the, between the Reds and Blues is the only way to put it here in this country. Two different sets of values clashing just about down the middle. How can this deadlock be resolved? I'm very intrigued to know what he has to say. We'll be talking to him in the 2 o'clock hour. What we are talking about right now is this oddity that the New York Times is reporting that the Justice Department, because it doesn't have any money, no money for it, is ending the testing of criminals for drug use. This is a program that started in the Reagan administration. What happens is they monitor you. If you are booked into jail for narcotics violation, and there are 35 cities they do this, they check you out. This has been credited with tracking the rise and fall of the crack epidemic, detecting the beginning of the meth epidemic on the West Coast. And people who have been involved in this say this program is a real loss because it was really a valuable program. They were drug testing criminals in the system who were largely in there for drug-related offenses. At the same time, the Bush administration doesn't have money for that, which I could see at least see the value of. But it does have money. It's proposing a tenfold increase in federal spending for drug testing at schools, which could boost the number of schools that conduct random drug tests. Why should a school do that? What business is it of the schools to do that? These are kids are not in positions where they're piloting airplanes, ferrying people around so that they're responsible for other lives. It is the parents' responsibility. It is not the school's responsibility. I would rather see the money go into books and other educational, you know, things that will enhance our children's education in this country. I would rather see the money go into drug rehab. So what they do is they ID a kid as using, whatever, some kind of drugs, and there's no drug rehab for that kid. Unless you have private funds in Denver, which we have a major drug problem here in this town, there's not a lot of resources unless you are privately can finance it yourself. They have support groups. You go once a week and you pay, what, $30? And you think once a week is going to get you off drugs? Ask Rush Limbaugh if once a week would have gotten him off something like Oxy. You tell me, 303-382-1150. So what you have here is a Justice Department. It has no dough. So therefore it ends something that is actually useful, I think. That is testing of criminals for drug use. It has allowed them to predict drug epidemics doing so. They believe, these people who have been involved in it say that this really puts a dent in trying to keep a handle on the war on drugs. And yet, here's President Bush, and he's proposing a tenfold increase in monies for drug testing in school, in the federal budget. Why should we even drug test our kids? You tell me. Why do we want to do that? I am outraged by it, especially when there isn't corresponding amounts of money that are used for rehab for kids. Rex, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I've been calling a couple last few days, and I sent an email. I just wanted to point out that, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to point out that government meddling on this level is not a conservative government. A conservative government stays... It leaves that to the local level.
How about leaving it to the parents?
leaves it to the parents, leaves it to the community, the district, the village, the teachers, the principal.
Well, instead
but not
of
the federal government doesn't, a conservative government doesn't get involved with that.
I agree with you. So that instead of calling them conservatives, and a lot of nasty people have found a socially acceptable label of calling themselves conservatives, why don't we call them punitives? Because I think that's what it is. Rex, I thank you. Thank you for the call. We're out of time in this hour. Two more hours left on Enid Live, the Thursday edition. In the 2 o'clock hour, Clinton's pollster Stanley Greenberg, how we can unlock the deadlock of the Reds and the Blues in this country. One more hour of Enid open discussion coming up right here on
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by General Motors. Authorities evacuated a Broomfield High School today after a potentially explosive chemical was discovered in a science lab. Wendy Krajewski of North Metro Fire Department describes the chemical in question.
The chemical is actually a sodium metal, and unfortunately, once it does get reduced to this particular form, it does have some explosive properties to it.
North Metro was called to the Jefferson Academy about 11 this morning after a fist-sized piece of the sodium metal was found. Two bomb experts from the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office are assisting North Metro. No injuries reported at that school. A University of Colorado student is suing CU over sexual assault allegations stemming from a recruiting party for football players and recruits. Depositions in the civil suit reveal allegations of sex and a police cover-up. Lisa Simpson says she was sexually assaulted by CU football players and recruits on December 7, 2001. She also says the school has violated her educational opportunities. CU, though, denies those charges. Other allegations say that recruits were promised a weekend of sex with CU co-eds. A Boulder police detective is also alleged to have helped cover up some of the involvement of players. The CU Police Department says they saw Boulder Police Detective Don Spicely leaving the residence of one of the players as they were arriving to question the player. Boulder District Attorney Mary Keenan says she believes Spicely interfered with the investigation, though she wouldn't say that he had committed a crime. No sexual assault charges have been filed in the case. CU football coach Gary Barnett says in his deposition that the four players who were cited for giving alcohol to minors that weekend served their community service in the CU weight room. The Transportation Security Administration has a job for you. Spokesman Mike Fearberg says between now and February 12th, they're taking applications for at least 75 screener jobs at DIA.
These are very high-quality jobs, and we want high-quality people to serve in them. No slackers are invited.
The TSA is hiring screeners for the first time since the autumn of 2002. Fairberg says they are especially needed since an increasing number of flights are leaving Denver late at night. If you're interested in working as a TSA screener, call 800-877-1895. Seven U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan were killed today, three others wounded. According to U.S. Central Command, the soldiers were working near an arms cache in the southern province of Ghazni. An interpreter was also injured and one other American soldier is missing after the explosion. The deaths come on the day the Pentagon says it will launch a new offensive in Afghanistan to flesh out the Taliban and capture Osama bin Laden. Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry has formally accepted a key endorsement in South Carolina. James Clyburn, the state's only African-American member of Congress, says Kerry is the man who will help bring the nation back together. Appearing with Clyburn in Columbia, the Massachusetts senator accused President Bush of being too cozy with corporate interests.
We are going to join together in a fight to break the grip of powerful special interests that seem to be walking away with the store in Washington to the exclusion of the real concerns of health care and education and clean air and clean water.
Congressman Clyburn said Kerry has the right stuff. South Carolina is one of seven states holding presidential contests this coming Tuesday. The black vote in South Carolina is expected to be large, and Clyburn's support was coveted by several Democratic candidates. Three juveniles being held at Guantanamo Bay have been released and sent back to Afghanistan. The teens range in age from 13 to 15 years old. The juveniles were the only teens being held at the naval base. There are still more than 600 suspected Taliban and Al-Qaeda guerrillas that are being held there. A Florida teenager whose murder conviction was thrown out last month has pleaded guilty to a lesser charge today. Lionel Tate was 12 when Tiffany Unick died. His conviction was overturned when a court said he should have been evaluated for his mental competency before the trial. Tate served 3 years of a life sentence before being released this week. On Wall Street, stocks are lower this hour. The Dow is down 7 points. The NASDAQ down more than 23. The S&P 500 down about a point and a quarter. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche head into Shaky Town tonight to take on the L.A. Kings. The Avs and Kings tied when they last met in December. Denver Nuggets are taking a couple of nights off before they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks on Saturday. Nuggets broke a three-game losing streak last night by beating the Chicago Bulls 115-99. Even when traffic's light, anything can happen. Be prepared with OnStar. Advisors are ready to help 24 hours a day. Plus, OnStar personal calling and virtual advisor helps you avoid delays ahead. OnStar, always there, always ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Come on, one more scoop and you're done with the driveway.
Oh.
Now for the hard part, standing up straight, because your back is stuck at a 45-degree angle. But it won't be for long. With a Thermacare heat wrap, put Thermacare on your back, neck, or shoulder, get 8 hours of deep down powerful heat. So tight muscles relax and you feel relief. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Then head back outside, because the snowplow just left you a present.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Hyatt Hotels and Resorts, and we do have a bit of a problem still working on Highway 7 on east of I-25 west of Brighton. That's closed due to a very bad accident. Other accidents in town, we have a bit of a problem at 1st and Madison, Ohio and University, and accidents being reported at Stapleton Drive and Dahlia as well as Bannock and Evans. Cabin Fever said at least treat yourself to room service. Now save 20% off Hyatt's regular rates on a weekend room at participating Hyatts. Offer end April 11th, so visit Hyatt.com today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds, we'll have a couple of more really nice days before temperatures plummet once again and snow showers come back into the forecast. We'll top out around 50 for the high. It'll be mainly clear, a little breezy tonight with a low of 28, a little breezy tomorrow with a high of 54, then turning sharply colder with a few snow showers on Saturday and a high of 33. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of Enid Live, the Thursday edition. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. You can always contact me on the web, knrcradio.com, Enid at knrcradio.com. And you can listen to us on the web at knrcradio.com. And if you've never called a radio talk show before, think about doing it. You can be heard. You can affect the dialogue. You will probably be heard by more people than you meet in the whole rest of your life. And what we're talking about, a bunch of things. And also to let you know that Stanley Greenberg, who's Bill Clinton's principal pollster, will be joining us in the next hour tomorrow. Mark it on your calendars. I'm really intrigued to hear from Kevin Phillips. We've had him on before. What makes him so interesting is that he's very well regarded. He's a Republican strategist, but he's written a book called American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. So, what will he have to say? We've been talking about the Super Bowl. They're going to take beer ads. They're going to take a lot of Levitra ads and Viagra ads, Cadillac ads, but no MoveOn.org ads. So you might want to let CBS know how you feel about it. CBS.com, there have been already more than 350,000 hits to CBS.com letting them know that people don't think it's a great idea, threatening to boycott advertisers and so on. But CBS appears to be unmoved. We are also talking about the fact that the feds have eliminated drug testing for criminals that are booked for drug use. This kind of drug testing has not only been useful in monitoring these criminals' activities, but also been useful in predicting various drug epidemics like crack, like meth. That program ends because there isn't enough money for it, but in the new budget, President Bush is calling for a tenfold increase in federal spending for drug testing at schools. It could boost the number of schools that conduct random drug tests. I think it's horrible to do that. First of all, to test kids in school, it's not the government's business, not the business of the federal government. One of our last callers said it's not even considered conservative to do that. And number two, where's the money for drug rehab in case you do identify somebody, a kid who's using drugs? 303-382-1150. I think it's an outrage. President Bush's new budget is going to project that the just enacted prescription drug program and Medicare overhaul will cost, listen to this, this is the Bush budget blowout. It's going to cost one-third more than previously estimated and is predicting a deficit exceeding $500 billion for this year alone. This is according to congressional aides. Instead of a $400 billion 10-year price tag, Bush's 2005 budget will estimate the Medicare bill's cost at $540 billion, not $400 billion over 10 years, but for 1 year alone, $540 billion, said aides who spoke on condition of anonymity. You betcha. Bush will submit on Monday a federal budget for the fiscal year 2005, which starts next October the 1st. Bush just signed the Medicare measure into law last month while it was moving through Congress. Bush, White House officials, and congressional Republican leaders had assured doubting conservatives that the bill's cost would stay within the $400 billion estimate over a 10-year period. But guess what? It's $540 billion for 1 year alone. People should be screaming. CBS should run that MoveOn.org ad because it's called Child's Pay. It's little kids dressed as adults doing adult labor because they're the ones who are going to have to pay that deficit. 303-382-1150. The lines are full. I think there's one line open. Grab it, somebody. Let's go to Travis in Castle Rock. Hi, Travis. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I know you were out of the country for the State of the Union, and I was watching part of it, waiting for him to talk about Osama bin Laden. I had to take a break in the middle and go do steroids with some athlete friends of mine. But I guess I must have missed it for a second there. But I think this new plan for drug testing in schools is absolutely absurd. I'm glad we've solved all the other problems that we're facing today. And this is just a big distraction. You said it yourself. One thing that really bothers me, I graduated from Douglas County High School, which is a conservative, white, suburban high school, and you know that they're not going to be in the suburbs testing upper-class students for drugs. They're going to be in the cities.
They're going to be in the inner-city schools and with no money for drug rehab in case they find some likely takers.
So here you have minority students and poor students who are already coming into this world at a disadvantage, trying to squeak by to get an education to actually make something of themselves, and they are going to go and test those kids, put a mark on their permanent record, quote-unquote, and that's going to be it for those people. It's one more way for Bush, who really sees things black and white, you're with us or you're against us, to classify the society as people that have and the have-nots. And
I think it's also part of the people told me, and I did not see the Save the Union address because I was in Italy, but people told me that it was, or the reporting I saw on it was that it was very macho and very testosterone-driven, and this is part of the posturing. We're tough on crime. We're tough on drugs. Like a sixth grader is going to do what to you exactly if you find a sixth grader with drugs? And what would have happened if George Bush had been tested for drugs when he was a kid?
Well, I don't think he'd be president right now, but I guess you could say that a lot.
And let me tell you something about sixth graders. The real sixth graders that are the most dangerous to this administration are the ones portrayed in the MoveOn.org ad. Those little kids who are dressed as adults because they're going to have to pay off this humongous deficit. Those are the ones who are the most threatening to the Bush administration. But what they want to do is they want to drug test average kids. I think this is really interesting.
I agree.
I thank you for the call, Travis. Also, I want to correct myself. James Brown's manager, I kept saying Bob Green because he was a columnist. It's our own Howie Green. So I stand corrected. Howie, I apologize to you. 303-382-1150. Bob in Colorado Springs, how are you live with Enid?
Yes, and listening to you on the web, it works pretty good down here.
Oh, good. A
couple things about drug testing and basically the war on drugs. We've been the victims of government-sponsored propaganda in this issue for, the last 50 years. You know, if we look at aspirin and other non-prescription over-the-counter drugs kill, I think it's 7,600 a year. Marijuana kills zero. Cocaine alone and kills 500, but mixed with other drugs, it's 2,500 a year. Heroin kills another 2,500 a year. Prescription drugs kills over 32,000 a year.
Let me tell you something. If you use crack, which is the powdered form of cocaine, you get a stiffer sentence than if you use cocaine.
Yes, 100 to 1 disparity. You know, it's all aimed at...
Wait, I have that turned around. Cocaine is the powdered form. Crack is the form, crack form. But if you use crack, you're going to worse sentence, which means that blacks are sentenced at a worse rate than whites because they tend to be the greater users, apparently, of crack.
Absolutely right. You know, we're trying to put more and more black people in jail by our drug policy, and it's working. And at some point, we're going to have to figure a better way to do this.
Well, I thank you for the call, Bob. But you know what? I want to ask you something. The White House, any regime, any administration can float anything, but why are we taking it? Why are we believing it? This war on drugs has been a joke from the start. People really have seen it. We lost it a long time ago. We could use that money for more important things, like to protect ourselves against terrorism, for one. How about drug rehab for another? And people aren't, there are some people screaming about it, but the rest of America seems to be asleep at the wheel or easily manipulatable. And this, to me, is the most distressing part of this equation. Tyrone, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You know, one thing I like about listening to your show, I can never tell when you really don't want to be there. You know, that's a good thing. Okay? But I wanted to say something in relation to George Bush and the Bush.
You think you can be? Do you think, Tyrone, you can be kind of civilized today? Or are you going to say something that we're going to have to dump you over?
No, man.
I mean, you were really horrible the other day. You're lucky I'm letting you on.
I'm always civilized.
Yeah. All right.
I want to make a point about George Bush. You know, I think a lot of people have to take in consideration that George Bush didn't get in office by himself. Okay. There were people in America that put this man in there. That tells you about your neighbors. It tells you about the everyday people that you see, you know, and where you really live. And I think we have to come to terms with, not George Bush isn't the problem, to be honest with you. The problem is the people in America just that really don't want to grow up. You know, I mean, racism is a part of our everyday lives, and it's simply because other people don't seem to want to try another option. And I think we need to just focus on other things besides the people that, you know.
Wait a minute.
If
you're saying that George Bush is the head of a flying wedge of all kinds of people who want him in there because he will do their bidding, I definitely agree with you on that. 303-382-1150. The big news today, in addition to everything that we have been discussing, is David Kay. He's been all over the place. I saw him interviewed last night on Nightline. I know that Wolf Blitzer interviewed him on CNN. He is calling pre-war failures disturbing. He finds he has David Kay, the former chief weapons inspector in Iraq, called to, I think he was testifying before Congress, I believe, and he was calling now for an independent inquiry into pre-war intelligence about Saddam Hussein's weapons program, but he said he did not believe that the Bush administration had pressured intelligence analysts to exaggerate the threat. Now, there's been a lot of reporting indicating that that Dick Cheney has made visits to the CIA, that a lot of lower-level people felt like they were pressured to cherry-pick the information that would best sell the war to Americans. And to this day, Dick Cheney doesn't want to acknowledge that there's no substantial connection with al-Qaeda, which David Kay says there is none that's been revealed, no WMDs. Dick Cheney still wants to go around saying that they will be found. George W. Bush, however, is backing away from the claim of weapons of mass destruction. But this is very damaging. The 9/11 committee wants a couple more months to do its work. And, of course, the administration doesn't want that to happen because it will put it too close to the election, and it's not expected that they're going to come up with some perky and supportive news for the present administration. But I said from the beginning, you had the most massive intelligence failure in the history of this country, and not one head rolled. David Kay, former chief weapons inspector in Iraq, called on Wednesday, yesterday, for an independent inquiry into pre-war intelligence about Saddam Hussein. Now, what's going to happen is that the intelligence agencies are going to take the hit for this. They deserve maybe a little of the hit for it. But it was the administration, I believe, that really politicized this information and tried to make the best case it could for going to war against Saddam Hussein and used everything it could to sell that war to people. If you knew that maybe somewhere there might be some plan somehow for weapons of mass destruction in a country that was on its knees, and a dictator who's a bad man but whose hands were handcuffed behind his back, would you have wanted to go to war? And I'm saying the answer to that would have been no. The White House immediately turned aside The calls from Dr. K and many Democrats for an immediate outside investigation seeking to head off any new wide-ranging election year inquiry that might go beyond reports already being assembled by congressional committees and the CIA. Proponents of an independent investigation said they wanted an explanation of the gap between the intelligence cited by President Bush and his cabinet in making a case for war and Dr. K's conclusion that Iraq did not have any large stockpile of chemical or bioweapons by the time the conflict began. Let me ask you this question. Is this going to balloon? Is this going to help to derail if there's enough screaming about the fact that there are no weapons of mass destruction? And you know who should be behind this a lot? The families of those who are serving in Iraq right now. They should really begin to spearhead this movement because it was on the most false of pretexts that A, the war was sold, and B, their loved ones are fighting it, coming back. The figure that's used, 500 at plus who have been killed, but that doesn't even begin to describe the carnage. Thousands who come back maimed, who have no limbs, who are in wheelchairs, who cannot speak, who have to crawl, who will never be the same again, who are just in the worst kind of shape, and we don't hear anything about those people. 303-382-1150. Will this become enough of an issue to begin to derail Bush? That's my question. Bob, Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, what you said there, the thing that people don't realize now about the veterans that are coming back is that we're saving so many more people from their injuries that are would be mortal with the fact that they've got blown off limbs because of the body armor. And so that's just a sidebar. But my biggest
thing Wait a minute, say that again. I missed it.
Well, the fact that you have such good body armor, these guys don't get killed.
No, but they come back maimed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Higher fatality rate, or much higher rate of injury than there would have been in previous times because they would have been dead.
Right.
So you've got a lot more amputees, double amputees, all that that goes with it. But that's just what you said there. My biggest thing is, like, I think there's a hidden agenda behind this school thing.
Mm-hmm. Drug testing for kids?
Yep.
Well, it keeps everybody's brain, you know, it keeps you from thinking about the fact that there were no WMDs in Iraq.
Not even that. The thing is that there's that trickle down from the standpoint that if you are, or your parents live in a subsidized housing and there's a drug charge for anyone that lives in that house, you can be evicted.
Okay.
So it's
so what's it, but I don't get your point.
Well, if you got the sixth grader who's been smoking pot, that's a drug charge at school. Throw the family out.
Okay, so it's a way to get them out. All right, I see what you're saying. I thank you, Bob, for the call. 303-382-1150. Here it is, David Kay. I mean, this is a massively stunning announcement by somebody who was appointed by this very administration. He says no WMDs. It turns out we were all wrong, probably, in my judgment, Dr. Kay told. Oh, it was the Senate Armed Services Committee. That's who he was testifying before yesterday. And that is the most disturbing. So what's going to happen here, boys and girls and buckaroos, is that the intelligence services are going to take the hit. But they can't take the whole hit because clearly they've got some goods on Bush or something because George Tenet has been allowed to walk the line trying to support his people at the same time brown-nosing the administration so he keeps his job. Maybe this will be the way that he exits. I don't know. No heads have rolled. No heads have rolled at all. How come they weren't on it before 9/11? Or maybe they were on it before 9/11 and the administration ignored the information provided to them by the intelligence services. That is one of the things that has been reported. So here's Dr. K trying to lob it off onto the intelligence services. My question is this going to become enough of an issue to begin to derail Bush? 303-382-1150. Look into the tea leaves. See what you think. I think it's gonna cause some problem. We'll see as the days progress exactly how much problem. But it's not a small issue, I think. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
If a radio station solicits your call, shouldn't they let you speak? We will. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150, KNRC.
So you've tried every diet out there. Well, that's something considering there's over 17,000 diets on the market to choose from. Low-carb diets, low-fat diets, high-protein diets. If you're one of the 127 million overweight Americans, you've probably tried one or all of these diets, but without lasting success. That's where Monarch Health Sciences can get you fit for life with a new and complete solution to overall health. The Monarch Forever Fit program is based on solid science in the fields of nutrition, exercise, physiology, and psychology. No magic pills here. The program was created by some of the world's leading experts in weight management, world-renowned doctors, Olympic athletes, exercise physiologists, and psychologists. Join this winning team. Call now, 720-981-4622. Whether it's to lose weight or become part of the Monarch Health Sciences business, call 720-981-4622 for your free Forever Fit information kit. That number again is 720-981-4622 or www.monarchhs.com/foreverfit.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there.
Boy, yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Stanley Greenberg will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. He was Bill Clinton's pollster, and tomorrow, Republican strategist Kevin Phillips, who's written a book about the politics of deceit in the House of Bush. He's a Republican strategist, so that should be really interesting. I'm laughing because one of the ads not accepted by CBS for the Super Bowl, including the MoveOn.org ad, is the one that PETA wanted to run, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, alleging that eating meat will make you impotent. Well, it would have been a really good combination to run that with the Viagra ads. I think it's like a 1-2 punch. And I'm laughing because now a story coming across that animal sex is not illegal in Sweden. And every year between 200 and 300 pets are injured because of sexual assaults. The estimate was presented by a Swedish veterinary organization, which is now trying to make the authorities and the public more aware of animal suffering. The organizations claim the problem has increased during the last couple of years. Well, when most guys couldn't get a date, was like, come here, Fido, 303-382-1150. Can you believe that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Sam, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, welcome back.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sam.
And the dictator in the White House don't like people like you coming back. They wish you stayed back then.
Well, maybe they did. But here I am.
Well, yeah, we want you to be here to vent and let us know their dirty doings. The dictator administration over there, did you know, if you read in the London Times, that about 9,000 to 15,000 American soldiers are being evacuated, not due to battlefield injuries, but due to inoculation of the smallpox vaccine. And it got to a point where some of these soldiers can't even move their limbs and stuff like that.
Why don't you send me that clip if you have it, Sam?
I will.
Enid at knrcradio.com. And I want to say something else. This report that cleared Tony Blair, and here I am.
Isn't that sick?
But wait a minute. Here I am. I come back to the States on Monday late from Italy, from Venice. Meanwhile, I have seen reports in the Sunday London Times in Italy talking about how the report is going to come in midweek and it's going to clear Tony Blair. I come back to the States, and on Tuesday, I'm reading a newspaper, I think even Monday and Tuesday's papers, and they're saying, well, we're waiting for that report to come in, and I'm thinking, God, are you dumb? You should get on the Internet, because I've just come from Europe where the results are already in and they're going to clear Tony Blair, and sure enough, that happened. So I thought that was pretty remarkable that we didn't get a heads up.
I want to make a point. This Bill Frist, you would think, you know, the majority leader, whatever he claims to be a doctor, whatever, from Tennessee. He's in the 11th hour of the Homeland Security bill, there was a little clause in there that he put Eli Lilly, who makes these inoculation vaccines, that you cannot sue them or anything. So, I mean, that, you would think...
No, I know. There's a lot...
Ethics, some morals about that. But go tell that to 15,000 American soldier families who their children... fathers,
Sam, I want you, what I want you to do is I want you to send me that clip, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. John, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, is this Enid?
It is.
Hello there, Enid. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you so much for calling.
I just wanted to make one comment, if I could. I sat and watched David Kaye's testimony because I was home ill yesterday, and I watched the whole thing on TV pretty much, and... It struck me after we got all done with the thing that there is one thing that no one has brought up. They brought out a number of times in the testimony that the same information had been going to the Clinton administration for years, and the Clintons were told the same thing, and et cetera, et cetera. And in other words, dragging us back for years. But nobody has brought out the point that the Clintons were not gullible enough to act on this faulty information, that it was only George Bush that finally stuck his foot in his mouth and says, we're going to invade Iraq.
That's an excellent point. And also, don't forget, the Clinton hasn't been in office in a few years.
That's
so
right.
As more time elapses, the whatever weapon stockpile they have, I would think, degrades more and more. And since we haven't been in there, we had not been in there in quite a while. That was old information, and we knew that.
It was. It was very old. And that's what David Kaye brought out, that most of it went back to as far as 1991 and 1992, immediately after the first fiasco over there. And now we're over there sticking our foot in our mouth again. And this was clearly George Bush. It wasn't the intelligence community. If the intelligence community made a mistake, that's one thing. But he was dumb enough to accept it at face value, and he's our leader. And I'd like to see that brought forward.
Well, John, I thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your observation.
Enjoy your program.
Thanks. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Wait a minute. We have something for you. There you go. Your life will be transformed.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I think he was befuddled. Probably thought it was like having sex with your sheep or something. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to another Bob on a cell. Hi, Bob. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
Welcome back. Your show is great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
The only reason that the CIA and the FBI have something on George Bush is the fact that they know that Dick Cheney's economy committee on
the energy committee.
That they discussed going into Iraq to get the oil. And also in that meeting was Ken Lay of Enron asking for them to ease off a little bit on him. And so they got that information that could be very, very damaging to those guys.
Well, maybe that's part of it, but I don't think it's all of it. I think it's probably a more complicated picture, but those are good points, Bob. Thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. Bob Scheer, ask this question. As David Kaye's admission makes clear, the president misled Congress into approving his preemptive war, so why is there no talk of impeachment? Why no talk of impeachment? Clinton, you know, wiggles around in the Oval Office, and that's it. They want to impeach him. Here's a guy who has misled Congress and the American public. Why no talk of impeachment? You tell me. And will it rise to this level, do you think, or will this thing blow over? 303-382-1150, because, you know, now's the time that they'll bring in Osama bin Laden so we can forget what David Kaye had to say, right? George in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And welcome back from Venice.
Oh, thank you very much. I want to also put out the call for those who have been supporters of George Bush, who've been supporters of the war, even though no WMDs have been found. Now, in the light of David Kaye's testimony, how can you justify going to war against Iraq? Have you changed your mind? Those of you who supported the war and continue to support it. So let me ask that. And George, tell me what's on your mind.
On my alleged mind, you have to be clear about that.
Yeah, on your alleged mind.
The administration, I think, is not willing to assert now that there were WMDs at the time they attacked. However, they are still clinging and emphasizing the fact that Saddam Hussein was becoming a more and more dangerous problem by the day.
The gathering storm.
Well, it turns out that there's ample evidence of just the reverse, considering the fact that Saddam Hussein at that point had lost a good deal of his army, had no confidence, had no ideology that he that was worth following, could rely only on his some relatives and other and Ba'ath supporters, that he had expended a lot of his country's assets on palaces and other things, that he was still being crippled by the sanctions. He was actually getting weaker and weaker as time went on.
And also, this must have happened while it was gone, because Maureen Dowd references it in her column, and I've seen a couple of other references. He was writing romance novels? What does anybody know about that?
I hadn't heard about that one, but apparently the guy was, if he was out of his gourd, so much the more reason that he was weak. It's no wonder then that none of the seven countries that surround Iraq were particularly worried about him, about his threats. I think they were wise unto him. So I suspect that that this whole drumbeat of Hussein being an increasing threat to the United States was basically just as false as the reports of the weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I felt that from the start, and I could see that it accomplished several things for the Bush administration. First of all, it accomplished a diversion from their failures, their massive failures that allowed 9/11 to occur. They've never been held accountable for any of this. And so sending everybody off to war, rallies the troops, he's now a wartime president, it's all about electability. I really think that they were that cynical, although I hope I'm wrong about it. George, I thank you very much for your observations. 303-382-1150. Brad, on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Brad.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to ask you a question. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh right before I flipped over to you, just to see what kind of spin they were putting on it.
What is he saying?
Well, he's saying that the liberals just hate George Bush because they hate him, not because of his policies, and that's the reason that Clinton sold or gave nuclear secrets to China.
Oh, please, what does Clinton have to do with it? Clinton has not been around for all these years. What does he have to do with anything? This is another diversion.
He doesn't.
Rush must be. Rush must be smoking something.
I just thought I'd let you know what he's talking about today. And my real question was, can't somebody like that be sued for libel if they can't? Can they say that on First Amendment? Can they claim that a president did something like that?
That a president sold secrets to China?
Correct. I mean, treason. Wouldn't it make sense?
No, I think in a way a president is almost libel and slander-proof unless it's really, really, really hideous.
That's pretty hideous. I mean,
yeah,
it seems
but
like if they can't prove that.
But that's been ongoing from that whole.
I know. I just can't believe that.
I can't believe that. This says something about anybody who believes what Rush Limbaugh has to say. This has to say something about their IQ in case it even is measurable. I thank you for the call, Brad. 303-382-1150. Steve in Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I believe that the failures of the CIA go back quite a few years. And I'll just give you a short list here. First of all, the 93 World Trade Center attack. Then Clinton said bombs.
There is no question that the CIA has been in a little bit of trouble because they were relying more and more on technical intel and not human intel. And they didn't have enough Arab speakers. They had nobody who spoke Pashto and the languages of Afghanistan. So they were in some trouble. But there's also been some reporting that they cautioned the administration, the outgoing Clinton administration cautioned the incoming Bush administration, and the Bushies didn't do anything with it.
Well, they had the I'll go on the aspirin factory where it was said to be
right, and that was
gas thing. The missile attack on an empty base in Afghanistan.
Right,
the 98 when in December.
All right, we're going to have to take a news break. So tell me what your point is.
Okay, in 98, they Clinton bombed, which is 5 years ago. It's not that long ago.
All right, but I see what you're doing. Tell me where you're going.
I'm telling you this the CIA is totally responsible for their failure.
What about the politicization? What about the politicization of whatever CIA, unanalyzed information, which is exactly what the administration... I'm not going to let the CIA off the hook, but I don't think that they're...
Just said a few seconds ago, the K said that the administration read this wrong. According to Nick Hayden.
No. It's been reported. Steve, I want you to hear this. It's been reported that the administration leaned on the CIA to cherry-pick information that really wasn't properly analyzed in order to be able to sell the war. And if that is true, they are therefore complicit with whatever the failings were of the CIA. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time in this segment. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Hyatt Hotels. The Jefferson Academy High School in Broomfield was evacuated today because a potentially explosive chemical was discovered in a science lab. Two bomb experts from the Jeffco Sheriff's Office are assisting North Metro Fire Department in disposing of the chemical. No injuries reported at the school. Denver's Xcel Energy has agreed to a $16 million settlement, which ends a federal investigation. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission was investigating E-Prime, that's Xcel's gas trading subsidiary, over reports that it was manipulating energy prices by issuing false reports to trade publications. In addition to the settlement, Xcel is shutting down E-Prime. Starting today, if you have caller ID on your phone, you'll start seeing the company names of telemarketers instead of just out of area. The new rule is part of the no-call list registry. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche head to the left coast tonight to play the L.A. Kings. In December, the Avs and Kings skated in overtime tie. Cabin fever? At least treat yourself to room service. Now save 20% off Hyatt's regular rates on a weekend room at participating Hyatts. Offer ends April 11th, so visit Hyatt.com today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and Principal Pops Conductor Doc Severinsen on January 30th and 31st for a celebration of the 20th anniversary of the CSO Chorus in a program including Pops, Jazz, and Broadway. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 1:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland now, the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Money Mailer, and one of our big problems is going to be Highway 7 between I-25 and Brighton, so watch for that, still closed. Everything else, though, is really construction-related. We do have some construction on Federal at 64th, as well as U.S. 85 southbound at Titan Road. Look for Money Mailer's jumbo red, white, and blue envelope arriving this week in your mailbox. Money Mailer's packed with coupons and money-saving offers from businesses in your neighborhood. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll have another mild day today, but just know that over the weekend, temperatures are really going to plummet. With a mix of sun and clouds, we'll top out around 50 for the high, 28 for the low tonight. Partly to mostly sunny, a little breezy on Friday with a high of 54. And then on Saturday, we're only in the 30s with a few snow showers. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 49 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable. affordable with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC Market Watch.
It seems more of us plan to do our own taxes this year. Intuit says sales of its TurboTax software are up 24% so far this month. Merrill Lynch is now telling clients to buy the stock on this news. Someone clearly listening, Intuit's stock is up $2.50. Investors also taking a dose of Andrex after the FDA cleared the company to sell a generic version of Schering-Plough's over-the-counter Claritin 12-hour allergy tablets. Andrex stock right now is up a dollar and change. Schering shares up a quarter, and the Dow Industrials are positive again. The index is ahead by 37 points. The S&P 500 up 5, but the NASDAQ is down 10 points. Oil price has been on the rise lately. Bad for most consumers, but good for ExxonMobil. The company says the spike in crude oil and natural gas prices helped to push earnings up 63%. That easily beat targets, and Exxon stock right now is up a half dollar. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:44 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm still jet lagged. Yours until 3 o'clock. Stanley Greenberg, Bill Clinton's pollster, will be joining us to figure out how we can deadlock the Reds and Blues that are locked horns with each other in this country. How we can get the country together on the right track, on the same page, if it's even possible. I'm curious to know what his solutions would be to this problem because nobody else seems to have a solution to it. So that's coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. We're talking about the David Kaye testimony. If you've been a conservative, if you've been a Bush supporter, if you continue to support President Bush and going to war against Iraq in spite of the David Kaye testimony, that it was sold on a whole tissue of deceit, lies, a manipulated response from the American public, I would like to know how you justify it, and I will give you plenty of time to talk. So 303-382-1150, how do you justify continuing to support somebody who lied, misled Congress, misled the American public on the reasons for going to war, and I believe knowingly misled them? I think it was all Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary, said that was one of the first things that was discussed even before 9/11. The lines are full. They will open up. Cassius on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound like you're still coming down on your parachute ride from Italy over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in listening to you this afternoon, it seems like there should be an opportunity for the Democrats here. You just can't help but wonder, will the Democrats call for some level of accountability for the billions of dollars misguidedly spent and the American soldiers and Iraqi lives that have been lost over there?
Well, don't you think this is interesting because this is an administration that believes in taking responsibility, being held accountable?
Well, you would think that would be a great opportunity for the Democrats, but it seems that for some reason we're not hearing that.
I hope we do hear it, Cassius. I hope that for some reason the Bushes and the Bush administration has been very slippery for the Democrats to grab onto and turn into an issue. But I hope that this does it. And I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Adam in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Welcome back from Venice.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask your opinion. Do you think that the Bush administration is now going to play the blame game? Because
Yes, they're going to blame the CIA, absolutely.
Right, and I think all you ever hear, I heard on another radio station, there's these two jerks in the evening who are now saying that it's the Clinton administration's fault for gutting the CIA's budget.
Are you talking about that content-free show, that utterly content-free show in the Walmart across the way? How can
I'm talking about 6:30. the guys on there in the evening
yeah.
who, you know, Bush just can do no wrong with these people.
Well, yeah, but, the, you know, you have dopes who say all kinds of dopey things. But the thing is, and this is the most distressing thing, why does it gain traction? Aren't the American people smarter than that? Can't
you
they
what,
see
Ina,
through this?
I've talked about this. You know what? People are so darn involved in Survivor and American Idol and all this fluff that they really could, you know, the wool is just being pulled over their eyes by this administration.
Well, then it's everybody's job to turn their friends on to reality if you can do it and still maintain the friendship, although that's a really tough road to walk, Adam. I can tell you that it is. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Dave in Loveland. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid?
Yeah, Enid. E-N-I-D. Enid.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Here you go. Yeah. Your life will be transformed.
Oh, I guess it will. Well, you, I guess I just turn you on. And
better than animal sex.
The question I guess you pose is, do you think there'll be an impeachment? Is that the question you pose?
Well, I'm asking the question. Why isn't there talk of an impeachment? Here, Bob Scheer from the LA Times, he says, David Kaye has made it clear that the president misled Congress into approving his preemptive war, misled the American public. Why isn't there any talk of impeachment?
Why? I guess because the media or the gigantic corporations are just, you know, not even talking about it.
Yeah, what happened to the liberal media? I thought the media was so liberal.
There is no liberal media. You look at Rupert Murdoch, who's a buddy, basically, with W., do you think he's going to be talking about it? No way. He has a vested interest in keeping George Bush in the office. You can't find this information from the mainstream media.
We
have to look on the web.
We were having a discussion earlier, Doug Kellett and I, and he said, a lot of the media is leftist. I said, it's not about whether they're left or right. What they have become is careerist, and that's even worse, I think. I thank you, Dave, for the call. 303-382-1150. Mariah in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Mariah? Hi.
Oh, hello?
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I listen to you all the time, and I'm glad to find somebody that thinks like I do.
Oh, thank you. Is this the first time you've ever called?
Yes, it is.
Wait a minute. We have something for you.
Anyway, I think that the reason that it all happened was because as soon as they started getting questioned on Enron and refused to answer anything, and we all know how our public service bills went through the roof after with that little deal, all of a sudden all this stuff happened.
Well, what a surprise.
Isn't that just
nothing? You can't talk about partial birth abortion anymore, so you got to do drug testing in schools. That's it. Or go to war against Iraq.
And the other thing is in truthout.org. I don't know if you've ever checked them out.
Yeah, I have.
A year before it all happened, there was a letter that they had gotten a hold of that said that they wanted Bush and family wanted to go in and get control of the Iraqi oil. And that if they could manage to do that, that would be a real coup. Well, look what's happened.
Look what happened. Actually, that letter was written probably about 10 years before. So, Mariah, thank you. Yeah, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Let's see if we have time for one more call before the break. Jeff in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the transfer there. I was thinking that the more trouble Bush gets in, he's going to have to do what all presidents do in this case, and that is have a sacrificial goat.
Who is it going to be?
Condoleezza Rice.
Listen to this. She said the information was bulletproof when we were going to go to war. Bulletproof.
And if you notice, she hasn't been on the scene since summer. I mean, it's like she's lost.
Well, they said she's apparently been being interviewed. She told TBS Today, I think that what we have is evidence that there are differences between what we knew going in and what we found on the ground. You know what? For spin watchers, for spin meisters, this is a really good exercise in watching how they spin it.
Yeah, yeah. But
then she's saying it's not surprising that in a country that it was as close and secretive as Iraq, a country that was doing everything that it could to deceive the UN, to deceive the world, so not surprising. Well, if she knew that they were deceiving, why were we so quick to go in?
Really?
These are things that should have been discussed before we went in, right?
Right. And she's the national security advisor. She's the interpreter of information for Bush, and she's there at all the debriefings. She's got to go.
Oh, debriefings. You know what that means? That's when they pull off each other's underpants.
Oh,
thank you very much, Jeff. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Top radio talk show host, definitely Enid Goldstein, says the Rocky Mountain News. AM 1150, KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Critics agree the show is red hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Cannon. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, says Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets are just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. Celebrate Super Sunday with Alberta Hunter for the 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. shows. Buy one ticket, get the second free. Use code Super Bowl Special at the new Denver Civic Theater box office, 303-309-3773.
This is your 30-second Vanguard Insight on spotting illusions. When comparing mutual funds, a high return is only high if it's still there after expenses and taxes. After all, if you don't get to keep it, did you really make it? So always ask, how much of this is mine? Then call 1-888-VANGUARD or visit us at Vanguard.com and invest in our way of investing.
Call for prospectus for more information and read it carefully before you invest. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Imagine a center of peace where people come to learn the special ways we are different so we can celebrate the wonderful ways we are the same. Support the Imagine Peace Foundation and attend their dinner and silent auction Saturday, January 31st at 6 p.m. at the downtown Denver Marriott. The honored speaker of the evening will be Dr. Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson and founder of the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Register online at blacktiecolorado.com and be part of the vision to imagine peace. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com to learn more. That's JameshHardie.com.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal presents Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS and H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Stanley Greenberg in the next hour is going to tell us how to get ourselves undeadlocked, the Reds and the Blues in this country. I'm all ears. We're talking about David Kay and his explosive testimony before a Senate committee yesterday, talking about how there are no WMDs, he's not finding any, none there, questioning the intelligence community. I think it is more than the intelligence community. I think they are outraged, at least some of the ex-members are, retired members. They're outraged that a lot of the intelligence has been cherry-picked and politicized. So whatever their failings may have been, and I'm not letting them off the hook, I think also the administration was very eager to find anything they could, whether it held water or they didn't, it didn't, and I don't think they ever thought it was going to come unraveled in their face like this, to sell the war to the American public. They misled Congress, and they misled the American public. They should be held accountable. And why isn't anybody talking about impeachment of President Bush? And those of you who are big supporters of President Bush, how do you manage to continue to support him in the face of what is damning testimony from a guy like Dr. K? 303-382-1150. And will it gain traction or will it go away like the Paul O'Neill stuff? Is it just going to evaporate because the Democrats can't wrestle it down? It's too greasy in their hands, and for some reason they can't get traction. Tell me what you think will happen. Jack in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Yes. Hey, listen, I got an alternative to the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Right.
At the Mercury Cafe downtown at 2199 California, Carol Oglesby, one of the original founders of the Students for a Democratic Society, is going to be reading from A Raven in the Storm, the Vietnam memoir, Vietnam War at Home, released in the fall of this year. So I think that'd be a good alternative for people, and he'll undoubtedly be talking about
Are they going to be passing out Viagra?
I doubt it. Oglesby is a pretty sensitive guy these days. But listen, another quick thing. Nobody in the Clear Channel juggernaut is talking about the media's culpability in going to war and the way that they were cheerleaders for this war and the way that they didn't do what they should have done, which was investigate and inquire and research some of these false claims about weapons of mass destruction. So as far as I'm concerned, Clear Channel and the other big media organs have blood on their hands.
Thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate the call. 303-382. But we've been doing it. We've been pounding this sad old drum for quite a while. Van in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Van.
Yeah, sorry. I know you're asking for new callers, and I actually called off topic, but I appreciate you taking my call.
What is it?
Well, I was calling about Al Franken and just the consistency between his talk and his action.
Yeah.
I guess there was a fundraiser a few days ago or a rally a few days ago in New Hampshire. A buddy of mine was there.
Yeah.
And there was a LaRouche supporter or somebody.
Yeah, I heard about it. So what's your point?
He suplexed the boy. He used a really, really, if you know anything about wrestling, he suplexed the guy, which is just
apparently the guy was really causing a lot of problems and looked like he might be a threat to Dean.
Yeah, he was storming the stage.
Yeah, and the cops got involved. So, no, I heard about the story. So your point about it is?
Well, just, you know, Al Franken talks tough and he is tough.
Well, he took the guy out. That's a good start. Thanks, Van. How come there's no conversation about impeachment, about President Bush? Will this issue gain traction? You tell me. Howard Dean, he's about out of money now. He's asked some of the people who he's working with to defer their salaries, some of his campaign workers. Oh, and this? The UN has agreed to help to send a team to assess the transfer of power. This will be right before the election, where here we are. We've been mad at the UN, but we want them to effect a transfer of power so we can get out of Iraq right before the election. So keep your eyeballs peeled for that one. That's coming up, and Kofi Annan has said that he will help the U.S. exit Iraq. So I wonder if we were in there, if we were able to accomplish in the short period of time anything much except get Saddam Hussein, who was busy writing romance novels anyway. In the next hour, Stanley Greenberg, Clinton's head pollster, will be joining us. We'll find out how to cure what ails us. I mean, a Goldstein, this is
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by HP Business Printers. Authorities in Broomfield had to evacuate Jefferson Academy High School today after a potentially explosive metal was found in a science lab. North Metro Fire spokeswoman Wendy Krajewski says that her department received a call about 11 this morning.
We did find that there was a chemical that, in fact, was improperly stored. It was a sodium metal. And unfortunately, once that chemical is exposed to oxygen, it can evaporate and become unstable. And we were finding that crystals had formed on this particular chemical.
Two bomb experts from the Jeffco Sheriff's Office came out to help North Metro dispose of the chemical. Students, teachers, and staff were let back into the school at about 12:30. No injuries reported during that incident. The State Patrol is investigating an auto accident that took the life of a 17-year-old girl. Master Trooper Ron Watkins said the mishap occurred shortly after noon on Colorado Highway 7 and Lomond Circle in Adams County. He says preliminary reports indicate the car driven by the girl crashed into a semi. Truck. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Denver's Xcel Energy has agreed to a $16 million settlement yesterday to end a federal investigation. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission was looking into reports that Xcel's gas trading subsidiary, E-Prime, was manipulating energy prices by issuing false reports to trade publications. After the probe began, E-Prime fired two traders and suspended two. Along with paying the penalty, Xcel says it will shut down E-Prime entirely and focus more on providing gas and electricity. Xcel is also facing at least $5 million in state fines for submitting reports that made power failures look shorter than they actually were. If you're job hunting, the Transportation Security Administration is looking for at least 75 screeners at Denver International Airport. TSA spokesman Mike Fierberg says that if you're looking for a rewarding position, look no further than a career in airport security.
At the end of the day, these folks can go home and say, I actually accomplished something today. I helped keep the skies safe. I help make passengers feel secure. I help my country and my community.
This is the first time since 2002 that the TSA has hired screeners at DIA. If you're interested in working as a TSA screener, call 800-877-1895. No more sorting trash. Starting next year, Denver goes to a recycling system that lets people toss newspapers, glass, pop cans, plastic jugs, and junk mail into a single bin. They need two to recycle now. Gary Price of Public Works says the department is getting ready to take bids from companies who will pay for reusable discards, but he doubts that Denver will make money off the deal or even break even. For one thing, the city has to buy rolling carts to hold the stuff, trucks to collect it. Denver is one of the few cities anywhere that provides free trash collection. Even with a big budget deficit, Mayor John Hickenlooper rejects calls for a fee. He just thinks that people will not accept that. Seven U.S. soldiers have been killed and three others injured in a blast in Afghanistan. U.S. Central Command says the soldiers were working near an arms cache in Ghazni. That's a province in southern Afghanistan. An interpreter was also injured, one other soldier missing in that blast. As the Democratic presidential candidates crisscross the country to drum up support, John Kerry's momentum continues. Today he picked up a critical endorsement from South Carolina Representative Jim Clyburn. He's the only black congressman in a state where African Americans could make up more than 40% of the turnout on Tuesday. On ABC's Good Morning America, Congressman Clyburn explained why he's backing Kerry.
All of us need, as a nation, to begin a process of healing and coming back together. I think Senator Kerry has the right stuff to get us there.
Tonight, the candidates square off in a debate in Greenville, South Carolina. Despite a suicide bombing in Jerusalem that killed 10 people today, a swap between Israel and Lebanese guerrilla group Hezbollah was completed successfully. Israel sent 30 Arab prisoners back to Beirut in exchange for the release of an Israeli businessman and the bodies of three soldiers. Secretary of State Colin Powell called today's bombing a horrendous attack. Stocks were mixed just before the close of today's trading session. The Dow is up 42 points. The Nasdaq down just under 11. The S&P 500 up about 4.5. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the L.A. Kings tonight in California. Avs and Kings tied in December. Denver Nuggets are off until Saturday when they head to Dallas to play the Mavericks. The Nuggets beat the Chicago Bulls 115-99 last night. That broke a three-game losing streak for the Nuggets. Buy an affordable HP Color LaserJet 1500L now and get your business to experience the benefits of printing in HP Color. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
PlayingPolitics2004.com has fired a missile across the bow of American politics and has created the perfect antidote for the person who has grown weary of listening to empty drivel from the likes of Ann Coulter and Al Franken. These two 54 card decks have been rejected by the New York Times, because they picked on them, but described as awesome by U.S. News and World Report. These cards at last represent a view from the center, which means they don't like the stance that either the far left or the far right takes. Better than any board game and perfect for the student, professional, or homemaker. PlayingPolitics2004.com is sure to bring clarity and laughter to your political decision-making process this year. These decks are moving faster than Bill Clinton's hands and George Bush's policy statements. Playing Politics 2004 can be purchased through select Borders bookstores or through www.PlayingPolitics2004.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by General Motors, and still dealing with the accident investigation work on Highway 7 from that earlier accident you heard earlier in the news. We also have some closures, some delays, due to construction. 64th and Federal, US 85 at Titan Road, and I-70 between the Boulder Turnpike and Tower Road. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds, we'll have a couple of more really nice days before temperatures plummet once again and snow showers come back into the forecast. We'll top out around 50 for the high. It'll be mainly clear, a little breezy tonight with a low of 28. A little breezy tomorrow with a high of 54, then turning sharply colder with a few snow showers on Saturday and a high of 33. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3, and joining me is Stanley Greenberg, who has been a pollster for Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Prime Minister Tony Blair, Nelson Mandela, and a whole long list of distinguished people. Stanley Greenberg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
His new book is called The Two Americas, Our Current Political Deadlock, and How to Break It. How do we break it?
How do we break it? Well, we stop accepting this divide which runs down right down the country. We are, you know, we're evenly divided between the parties. Each party has worked more and more intensively to get its own voters out. It's created a kind of cultural politics, and it's created kind of Two Americas, which is the title of the book. But it's we need political leaders. We need voters. It leaves a lot of voters out. It leaves a lot of issues off the table. It's more likely at the moment. I think the Democrats will move to act boldly. But, you know, in the book, actually, I also write on how Republicans can do it. It's harder for Republicans to do it since they hold on to power, and so why change things? And so at the moment, I think the ball may be in the Democrats.
Yeah, but it's to the advantage of politicians to create what are called wedge issues,
mm-hmm.
to pit one group against another. And I think it's a new ballgame post 9/11 where what we're not hearing, the phrase, which now seems almost quaint, the common good. We don't hear that phrase anymore. We hear the Reds versus the Blues, but we don't hear very much about the common good.
Yeah, I mean, your question comes right from the heart of this book, and my heart, and part of why I wrote the book. The wedge issues are, you're absolutely right. You've got these, you know, tactics to try to disrupt some support on the other side while you get as much of your own, your own voters out. But, you know, what about the whole country? You know, what about thinking beyond these two, these two worlds? I propose in the book that, you know, at least Democrats have the opportunity to say, you know, we're not going to run on these emotional symbolic issues that have, you know, been used in the past. Let's try to talk about the whole country. Let's work for 100% America where everybody has, equal opportunity, and let that be our passion. And let's center the election on that. That would take us to different issues if that were our starting point, you know, the interests of the whole country. So I'm with you. And there's a lot of voters who would want to be with you.
Stanley Greenberg, what did Bill Clinton do right in terms of his appeal? I mean, I guess maybe you can't frame it that way because he has a special kind of charisma and he does connect with voters in a unique way. But what was it that he did right that the Democrats can't seem to do right now?
Yeah, and I worked for Bill Clinton in 1992, and I remember at this point in time, in fact, as late as June of the 1992, he was in third place behind Perot and Bush. People thought he was a failed flawed candidate. Democrats were going to get slaughtered in the elections, but he's obviously a very skilled politician, and also who understood the moment in time. You know, that moment in time gave people hope for change. And he also looked, and he was somebody who was going to break with the way the Democrats had done things in the past. And that opened up a lot of voters who were not ready to vote for the Democrats, before. And it shattered the existing political relations at the time. The Republicans were dropped below 40% on average for two presidential elections in a row, and in fact haven't won a plurality in the last three. And so he set it on a course toward change. Now the Democrats have fallen short for various reasons, but he also touched middle America.
He created a sense of possibility. But why is it, I don't know if you can answer this question, but why is it that some of the issues that dogged Clinton have not dogged Bush, even though Bush in some ways is more culpable? For example, the military issue was a huge issue for Clinton, the fact that he had not served in Vietnam, that he got himself exempted from the draft. Whereas George Bush was pretty much AWOL, some people even call him a deserter, when he did his National Guard service, and here he flies onto the deck of the Abraham Lincoln in full Tom Cruise regalia, including a sock stuffed down the front of his flight suit, and nobody gives him any, he gets no flack for that.
Well, I mean,
how is that possible?
Well, I have to say, no one's more frustrated. I worked, for Al Gore in the 2000 presidential election, and I know the frustration of actually reflecting on that political experience, wartime experience. Al Gore did go to Vietnam. I think Republicans, not out of fairness.
Has something in the population changed that you can identify?
No, Democrats, because they come out of a tradition of being more cautious about going to war, or if we have to cross a higher threshold on whether they're going to battle for America's security, and that's, Clinton got hit very hard on a very, double standard. Bush did not, and there are many other issues on which Bush did not, get hit hard, including his experience in the oil industry, his path being greased all along the way. And post
9/11, his drinking problem,
which only emerged at the end, and his honesty about that. And in post 9/11, the press have been very, very cautious about about touching him. But that's changing. I mean, right now the national race is even, despite the Bush's popularity from the capture of Saddam Hussein. And it's very much a race that Democrats, can win. I think there will be a nominee here who I think will not just get the attention. I think there's real possibility of a hopeful challenge to Bush that can I think reclaim the country.
Who do you think has the best chance among the Democrats of beating Bush right now? If you were to look into your tea leaves or your polling background.
Look, I deal with the realities, right? Kerry is well. What happened in the Democrats were looking for somebody who can stand up to George Bush. They were very frustrated with their own party. Howard Dean rode that, early on because he was clear in his opposition, including the war, and that's what brought voters to him. But I would leave this to the voters. I mean, I'm so impressed with what happened in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Do you think that it's over for Dean?
I think it's very, very, very hard, and Kerry is,
You think he's going? You're saying that you think Dean will have a very hard time regaining his former.
Yes.
Now I'm told that he has more delegates right now than Kerry because of the superdelegate situation.
Yeah, it's possible, but this will all be swept over by the, swept over by what the voters themselves say. I mean, frankly, it won't be the press, and it won't be the superdelegates or the politicians. I mean, the voters will decide this. And I tell you, I was in Iowa caucuses. People got to look at the candidates real close up. They had double the historic turnout ever had in the state. New Hampshire had historic turnout. Democrats are very engaged and very intent on having a candidate who can defeat George Bush. They want to bring change. They think this is a wrong direction. And are passionate about it, and I think they're passionate about finding the candidate who they think will be able to get on that stage and be both a strong candidate and a strong president. And Kerry is the one at the moment who seems to be passing that test.
My guest is Stanley Greenberg. His new book is called The Two Americas, Our Current Political Deadlock and How to Break It. Okay, Kerry looks like he's the man of the moment. Do you think that will carry?
That will carry to the through the general election?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I mean, I think first of all, we are two Americas. We are, this country divided down the middle. It'll be, if nothing else happened, this would be a close run to the finish. But you've begun to hear a little bit more from the Democrats, and I think that's what has, I think the Republicans worried. And from all the candidates, Howard Dean, expressed an opposition to what was happening in Washington, the culture of Washington, which I think has helped all the Democrats. I think Edwards has begun to speak about, and frankly, using the language of my book, about the not having two Americas but having one America. And Kerry, when he gave his critique on both Iowa election night, primary caucus night, and New Hampshire primary night, when he said we're going to sweep the special interests, push them out the door. The country, I have no doubt, said, we're hungry for this.
But Kerry also voted for the Patriot Act. He voted to go to war. That's all going to come back to haunt him, whereas Dean was able to galvanize the anger that Democrats felt and had clean hands insofar as the Patriot Act was concerned, insofar as the war was concerned.
You have to respect the voters on this. In the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primary, the strongest opponents of the war who voted in those two states voted for Kerry. In the end, they said, do we want someone who looks like he's simply debating an old battle, or does it look like someone who's ready to engage in a full-fledged critique of Bush's foreign policy, not just Iraq, but also the post-Iraq, but also this foreign policy that drives away our allies, and I think a candidate who can surround himself with his veteran colleagues, comrades, and say, come on, you know, Mr. President, come on, let's get it on. And, you know, the Democratic voters said that's the person we want to challenge George Bush, not just challenge George Bush, challenge him on the war.
I kind of have a little theory going here. I thought that, I thought that Howard Dean, in his blunt and feisty talk, was reminiscent of Harry Truman, and that George W. Bush, who said, yep, nope, bring him on, was a little bit like Gary Cooper in High Noon. So we had a contest here between Gary and Harry. And added to the fray here is John Kerry, who is a little bit Kennedy-esque in his presence. So in addition to whatever is going on between all these people in their own personas, there are these kind of echoes of other people from the past that are part of the drama unfolding. And so I'm curious to see how it's all going to play out. I don't think that Lieberman has much of a chance. I think he's going to have to drop out at some point.
I think very, very difficult. He's from my home state of Connecticut. And so, so I have to, and I worked for him when he first ran for U.S. Senate. But right now,
not looking good.
We're down to,
What about Wesley Clark? Who's going to be the vice president, presidential candidate? I think Wesley Clark's not going to manage it either.
I thought at the outset that he would. He's, a lot depends on how the rest of this race plays out. He said, I think, just too many errors, too many missteps, too many misreads, I think.
He seems too naive now. But it's being reported that the Clintons are all behind Wesley Clark. Why would that be if that's true?
Well, Arkansas, has a good, southern military history, and it may well be that I don't know that it's right that the Clintons, back was. There were certainly a lot of people who worked on the Clinton campaign who, joined the Clark campaign. But I do think you're right about these leaders hearkening back, and I'm actually optimistic that this is, even though we have this very intense primary, and I think Democrats are very united in their purpose. And I think they're taking something from all of them. Dean started the ball rolling and standing bold against the president. And I think Kerry, when you say Kennedy-esque, I'm hoping he reads my book, and I have good reason to believe he has.
And what are you going to tell him to do if he reads your book?
But reaches for Kennedy's notion that when America is great, when we're 100% country, that's when America's great. Where we fall short, that's our passion to to fix that. And I think voters are ready for, a new, Kennedy opportunity Democrat.
All right. Well, I want to bring it back to the problem that I think is a huge problem in this country. There really is a split between the reds and the blues. It's cultural.
Yeah.
It is manipulated by politicians because it's in politicians' best interest to manipulate the split. But it is not healthy. I mean, there's that old cliche, a house divided cannot stand.
Right.
And it's a matter not simply that it's not something that politicians have only created, although they have exacerbated it.
Yeah.
But it has to do with values. It has to do with the reaction to the popular culture. It has to do with a lot of stuff, and now it's crystallized. And I don't know how you bring people together.
Well, it's hard. It's very hard to break out of it. And as I said in the book, look, I've described how we've come into these two Americas, and I've described the history of it. In our country's history, usually one party has dominated, and created, not dominated politically, but also the ideas and the kind of the national project of the time. So if you had the New Deal Democrats, you had five straight, elections trying to lift the country out of poverty, fight fascism. So you had a real sense of purpose for the country. What we have is this, this division between the country, very evenly divided. Each party contributes to this, and in my view, mainly playing the cultural issues rather than material or economic issues, which are about values, and that intensifies the division and the idea of two camps. And what I, and it's likely we'll repeat it again. I mean, I would like it to be different. What I try to say is, that it doesn't have to be this way. If you decide that what we're about is 100% country, and you start talking about let's have universal health care, or let's have universal access to college, or let's have fundamental campaign finance reform where every voter give them a check of $50 to be able to contribute to whatever candidate they want, and equalize the power of the citizenry. I mean, if you go for bold ideas like that, I think it'll cut across those lines. I don't think a traditional voter in, you know, in Heartland, Iowa.
I don't think it's about, I will disagree with you, Stanley
yeah.
Greenberg. I think it's not only about ideas. I think that you have to somehow re-engage people, give them a sense that they have a voice. Right now, people are not engaged. It's a survival mode out there. It's a distraction mode out there. You have people who barely vote. A very tiny percentage of us do. So until we have the sense that we can affect change, or that we're invited into the process, or it's made clear that our input has some value into creating a common good, a stronger country, a better country, I think things are going to be rocky. And until that happens, I don't think much will change.
So
you can have all the ideas in the world that you want, but it seems like we're disengaged. And I think the one thing that Howard Dean did was that he was bold. He wasn't a wimpy Democrat. He galvanized a lot of opinion, used the internet in a brilliant way. You know, he may be sacrificed here in the march toward the presidency, but he did a very good thing in galvanizing a passion.
For sure he did, and it would be a tremendous, and you're right, he engaged a lot of people, you know, but I think what's going to be special, I hope this is true, this is my hope, that when I look at who were the first time voters in the caucuses in Iowa, in the end they didn't vote for Howard Dean, the first time voters, and young voters, in Iowa voted for Kerry. It was, Dean for sure energized and mobilized, changed politics, and brought people in. But then when they got drawn into it, they evolved, you know, to other candidates. I'm hoping that this is not a defeat of what Howard Dean brought to it. I think it's taking up the torch. If they end up in a minimalist, you know, special interest politics, you're absolutely right. You know, then people will be driven right back out. But people are cynical. They don't, you know, they don't trust the politicians, and with good reason. You know, I'm hoping that he's passed that. You know, I don't want to seal, the primaries aren't over yet. I hate to say anything before the people decide it. What I hope is that, you know, we build on what Howard Dean started. And I think his voters have graduated and moved to other candidates. I think that's his inheritance. I think we'll have a lot to thank him for when this process is over.
Stanley Greenberg, we thank you for joining us today. Your new book,
you.
The New Americas, Our Current Political Deadlock, and How to Break It. Thank you, Stanley Greenberg.
Thank you.
I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best kept secret. The only station where you can hear hosts with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Robert. I'm out.
I got a question for you. Is it possible to buy phone minutes on OnStar but not be tied into a package?
Actually, you have to have an active OnStar subscription to be able to use the phone. All you do is just add a bundle of minutes and then use them.
That's kind of convenient. How does one add minutes?
You can add minutes by using a credit card.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated phone that's built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
On a long trip from Canada to Central Florida, and I've just used my cell phone, and it's been breaking up. And how does somebody then get a hold of me?
Actually, I can give you the phone number of the vehicle.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think this is a great system. I thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. You have a safe trip.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keith, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKSH, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 till noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:27 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you missed Stanley Greenberg, who's written about the two Americans and how to break the political deadlock between the Reds and the Blues. And frankly, I wouldn't say this to his face, but I was sort of disappointed because I don't see a solution there that he was really offering other than pushing the book, which costs, I can tell you how much the book costs. I went $25.95, unless you live in Canada, and then it's $38.95, but that's Canadian dollars. Canada's a bargain right now, I think, or was anyway. I don't know if it still is. But he doesn't offer a solution, as far as I can see, to break the deadlock between the Reds and the Blues. Yes, he's a pollster, but... you tell me, 303-382-1150. Here's what we have been talking about. We've been talking about Dr. K's explosive testimony before a Senate committee yesterday, saying that in his opinion there are no weapons of mass destruction, that it was a massive intelligence failure. I'm saying that it's more than a massive intelligence failure. I believe that some of the intelligence was cherry-picked, and some of the reporting indicates that that was the case, that you had Dick Cheney going over to CIA headquarters in order to lean on analysts there. And here are some fairly low-level people who felt like probably they had to do what the vice president wanted them to do. At least subconsciously, there's kind of a pressure to move in that direction. And what they got was enough ballast to convince Americans that they ought to be supporting a war against Iraq, that Iraq could be an imminent threat. In 45 minutes, there could be a mushroom cloud over Boston or over the East Coast. And it's laughable because Saddam had nothing. He had a delivery system that even couldn't even get anything to... It couldn't get you a pizza to Israel is how bad his delivery system was. So now it's coming out. The administration is probably going to try to blame the intelligence services. After the most massive failure of intelligence in this country, 9/11, not one head rolled. George Tenet still walking that fine line between trying to brown-nose the administration and also support his own troops, who are increasingly restive. And some of the retired CIA are furious about how the agency has been downgraded and politicized and how... In the eyes of Americans when they are hardworking. There are many flaws in the intelligence services that we read about in the run-up to the war against Iraq, that they were relying too much on technological information and not enough on human intelligence. They had not enough Arabic speakers. They didn't have anybody who spoke the languages of Afghanistan. So there are a lot of problems with the intelligence services and a lot of competition between the FBI and the CIA that didn't serve the country well. Again, like the Reds and the Blues, nobody's looking out for the common good. I think that is an idea that has to begin to take root somehow. And now you've got Bush doing a couple of things. First of all, they're in touch with the UN again, so the UN is back on the table. The UN agrees to help the U.S. exit Iraq. And they're going to try to do this probably before the election. Every decision this administration makes is a political one, almost everyone. Not a decision about the good of the country, but the good of their cronies, the good of their base, their voting base, the good of themselves. Not for the good of the country. The good of getting themselves reelected and being in power for 4 more years. Oh, please get them out. These are people who have lied. These are people who have deceived us. And the price of it hasn't simply been a little sexual escapade in the Oval Office. The price of it has been the loss of lives. And even if people have survived, injuries so grave as to constitute a kind of loss of life, or a kind of loss of life as people knew it. 303-382-1150. And here's Maureen Dowd's column. Dump Cheney now, she says. We'll have to talk about that. Ruth in Fort Collins, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I see that you're beginning to talk about what I talked about with you a few weeks ago when I felt that I had shocked you. Impeachment is a very real means. But before that, the people have to be convinced that how important this is. But they have to do it. They have to write their representatives. They have to write letters to the editor. They have to write their local paper. They have to have meetings. It's the same kind of climate when during the Reagan administration, although it's not as serious, but when the Iran-Contra thing came to the public's attention and all kinds of meetings were held and all kinds of inquiries, I'm very pleased that they are finally beginning to talk about having some kind of an inquiry.
Well, I think that what we have to do is, in addition to the impeachment thing, in addition, I think people have to start calling their senators,
yes,
their representatives, and demanding an inquiry.
Yes.
Into the intelligence services, into the David Kaye information.
Mm-hmm.
A whole investigation has to start to happen here.
Yes.
And people have to be unremitting. They just have to be, you have to be relentless in pounding on your representatives, your senators, everybody.
The most important thing that the Republicans have to do, since we live in a Republican state and mostly everybody is Republican, the most important thing Republicans have to do to protect their country and to get the truth is they have to make their representatives aware that until the Republicans themselves demand to look into this...
It can't happen. I just got an email from Joe. You can't get an impeachment going, the proceedings going,
no,
or even an investigation as long as Republicans control Congress.
Yeah. Well, then the American people should make it very clear that the Republican Party then does not have any credibility at all because, as I said weeks ago, this is the party that did all these things that made the American people very angry about Clinton's escapade, and they demanded impeachment. And here we have secrets regarding starting a war. And that, if that isn't important to the Republican
Party... Well, we had worse than secrets. We had lies, Ruth. And I thank you, as I always do, for your thoughts. 303-382-1150, Joe in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I want to know where the press is in all of this. I mean,
well, that's a good the press. Are they depressed? That's a good question.
Yeah,
where
well,
are they? They've been acting like
a free pass.
They have always acted like that. They have been stenographers here. And think about it. I mean, it's not about whether they're left or whether they're right. They have become careerists. They want the White House beat is a very important career move for a reporter. It's an impressive position. A prestigious position. So
it's
if you
not
write,
only the
if
White House beat either,
and if you write anything negative about this White House, they will close you out. You won't be able to do your job. You will be transferred. So people are walking a very fine line. I'm guessing that's one of the reasons. Unless they have completely been, been mesmerized by an inside the Beltway mentality, where they have turned themselves into a core of yes people and stenographers.
That's like on the Today Show this morning. They had Condoleezza Rice and who was the ex-CIA director?
Woolsey, James Woolsey?
Yeah, Woolsey. They had the two people on this morning.
Yeah, well, he's trying to pull the Woolsey over our eyes.
Well,
but
that's right.
I hope it doesn't succeed.
They're both pushing the Bush thing.
Yeah, well, fighting for their lives. They've dispatched them because clearly they feel like they are vulnerable here and a little bit of damage has been done. I would say you got to step on the gas and make sure an inquiry happens. You just have
to. I think more people have to be writing to their newspapers, to their editors, and just bringing us to a head because he's getting a free pass on everything.
Well, people have to get engaged. They have to write their letters to the editor. They can all take lessons from our listener, Preston, because Preston gets many of his letters published. So you have to be succinct, get right in there, address an issue that the paper has addressed. And the better you write, the more likely your letter will be published, and keep it brief. And I would encourage people to do that, but I would also encourage people to get involved in neighborhood politics, get involved in politics in Denver, call your representatives, call your senators, and demand that they institute an inquiry here and not simply a whitewash. Joe, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Students at Jefferson Academy High School in Broomfield got a break from class for about 90 minutes today when the school was evacuated. A potentially explosive chemical was discovered in a science lab. The evacuation ended about 12:30 this afternoon after North Metro Fire and a couple of bomb experts from the Jeffco Sheriff's Office disposed of the chemical. No injuries in that incident. The Colorado State Patrol is investigating a fatal auto accident that has claimed the life of a 17-year-old girl this afternoon. The CSP says preliminary reports indicate that the car driven by the girl crashed into a tractor trailer. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The Transportation Security Administration is looking for at least 75 security screeners for Denver International Airport. The TSA is taking applications between now and February 12th. Call 800-877-1895 if you're interested in working as a TSA screener. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche have an away game tonight against the LA Kings. The Avs and Kings tied when they last played in December. Watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. The Boston Bruins host the New York Islanders Thursday at 5:30, only on ESPN. Watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly. Joining me now is Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits. Brenda, I thought this time we would play a little food and wine association.
Okay, Doug, I'm game.
All right, I'll give you the food. You tell me the great wine to go with it, okay? How about duck breast?
Let's do a Spanish pirato. How about ambrugge?
Sounds good. How about sea scallops wrapped in bacon?
Crisp Pinot Grigio, nice and crisp and refreshing.
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst? Well, that's not a wine. Oh, you got to do beer with bratwurst. How about Utenos, Lithuanian beer, or better yet, flag porter. Yummy.
Lamb chops.
California Zinfandel. Dash California Zinfandel would be perfect with lamb chops.
Now, one everybody would want to know about, pizza.
Oh, lots of options for pizza. You could do a Primitivo. You could do a Sangiovese out of Tuscany, Italy.
I bet you've got one for sushi, too, don't you?
Champagne or sparkling wine. It's a great pair.
I knew you'd have the answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, located 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Pep Boys, still blocked on Highway 7 right at Loman Circle. That's due to the earlier accident you heard about in news. Everything else is really construction-related. Southbound U.S. 85 at Titan Road is construction. Delays on Federal both directions at 64th and I-70 between Tower Road and the Boulder Turnpike. Get to Pep Boys for name brand oil change at just $14.88. You can choose from Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. With a mix of sun and clouds, we'll have a couple of more really nice days before temperatures plummet once again and snow showers come back into the forecast. We'll top out around 50 for the high. It'll be mainly clear, a little breezy tonight with a low of 28, a little breezy tomorrow with a high of 54, then turning sharply colder with a few snow showers on Saturday and a high of 33. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 49 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes had a mixed day after a very choppy session. One analyst tells MarketWatch.com investors were unsure how to react after the Fed hinted an interest rate hike could come sooner than expected. The Dow Industrials rose 42 points to 10,510. The NASDAQ fell 9 points to 2068. The S&P 500 gained 6 points to 1134. Big board volume was about 1.9 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a 7-4 margin. Disney was the Dow's top percentage performer, rising almost 3.5%. One fund manager tells MarketWatch.com there are rumors Disney might be a takeover target. And just moments ago after the close, Pixar Animation Studios said it is ending talks to extend its existing 5-movie deal with Disney. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow up 42 points. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
242 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Tomorrow, Kevin Phillips is going to join us. His new book, he's a Republican strategist, but his new book is called American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush. I can't wait to talk to him. And next week, I'm watching CNN right now, and they're holding up Blind in Baghdad, the Atlantic Monthly piece that James Fallows did. James Fallows is going to be with us next week, and so is David Denby, who is the movie critic for the New Yorker magazine. He wrote a book called American Sucker, not about movies, but about how he got suckered into the tech boom and he lost just about everything. So that's coming up. There's a new book out that is called Secret Lives of the U.S. Presidents. It's got a lot of information in there that I don't think you're going to find anywhere else. For example, Chester Arthur was a real clothes hog who owned more than 80 pairs of pants. Grover Cleveland is the only U.S. president to have personally hanged someone. He threw a noose over two criminals' necks while working as a sheriff. Warren G. Harding, the Teapot Dome scandal, once gambled and lost a box of priceless White House china during a poker game. JFK was so perpetually plagued by venereal diseases like chlamydia that he spent the first moments of the Bay of Pigs invasion getting a giant shot of penicillin. And last but not least, Gerald Ford used to let off loud farts and blame them on a Secret Service man. Oh, no. I think there's probably more about presidents than we really want to know. Borowitz report for today. The CIA confused Saddam Hussein with Vidal Sassoon. Biggest intel goof ever, Case tells the Senate. Intercepted chatter that the CIA thought was about Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was actually about hairstyling wizard Vidal Sassoon, former weapons inspector David Kay told the Senate Armed Services Committee. Referring to classified transcripts that were used to justify going to war with Iraq, Mr. Kay told his Senate inquisitors, once you realize that they're talking about a hair salon pioneer and not a Middle Eastern madman, it really changes everything. Characterizing the Hussein Sassoon mix-up as the biggest intel goof ever, Mr. Kay went on to say that Mr. Sassoon was not seeking weapons of mass destruction, but rather lessons in mass production. He felt that his line of shampoos, conditioners, and styling mousses could be produced more efficiently, Kay said. While acknowledging that Mr. Sassoon was attempting to obtain chemical and biological agents, a red-faced Mr. Kay conceded, that's pretty much what shampoo is made of when you stop and think about it. Intercepted chatter supposedly about germ warfare, Mr. Kay went on, was not about germ warfare at all, but rather about Germac hair care, a competitor of Sassoon's. While Mr. Kay resisted the temptation to draw too many conclusions about the appropriateness of U.S. military action in Iraq, he said, there remains a troubling possibility that we invaded Iraq to prevent Vidal Sassoon from helping women restore body luster and shine to even the most damaged hair. The Borowitz Report. Maureen Dowd today. Headline of her column, Dump Cheney Now. She says the awful part is that George W. and Saddam Hussein were both staring into the same cracked spook house mirror. This is what she says. She says, thanks to David Kay, we now have an amazing image of the president and the dictator both divorced from reality over weapons, glaring into each other from opposite sides of bizarro, paranoid universes where fiction trumped fact. The two would-be world-class tough guys were willing to go to extraordinary lengths to show that they couldn't be pushed around. Their trusted underlings misled them with fanciful information on advanced Iraqi weapons programs that they credulously believed because it fit what they wanted to hear. Saddam was swept away while writing his romance novels, while President Bush was swept away with the romance of rewriting the end of the 1991 Persian Gulf War to finish off the thug who tried to kill his dad. And by the way, President Bush doesn't read newspapers. I think we should be reading newspapers to him. He doesn't read them. Well, do his lips move? What's the story here? And the reason his father did not do in Saddam Hussein when he could have during the Gulf War is that he had made a deal going in with the Arab nations that he wouldn't do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to get their support. So the two men both had copies, Saddam and George W. Dickey Bush, both had copies of Crime and Punishment. Condi Rice gave Mr. Bush the novel on his trip to Russia in 2002, and Saddam had Dostoevsky down in the spider hole with him, but neither absorbed his lesson, that you can't put yourself above rules just because you think you're superior. When Dr. K spoke these words on WMD, it turns out we were all wrong, probably in my judgment, and that is most disturbing, he said. Both America and Iraq learned that when you try too hard to control the picture of reality, you risk losing your grasp of it. In interviews, Dr. K defended the war with Iraq, saying that the U.S. has often entered the right war for the wrong reason. And he defended Bush by saying, if anyone was abused by the intelligence, it was the president. He also told Congress, there's no evidence that I can think of, that I know of, that Saddam collaborated with al-Qaeda. Let me give you that again. He told Congress, David K. told Congress, that there is no evidence that I can think of, that I know of, that Saddam collaborated with al-Qaeda. So those of you who are listening to the OxyContin jockey across the way at the Walmart, and he talks about, and people like him talk about how there was a connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq, Dr. K himself said none that he knew of. Certainly the CIA has a lot to answer for. And let me just also throw this into the mix. Remember, Rumsfeld didn't trust the CIA, so he set up his own intelligence operation in the Pentagon that mowed down the CIA and did what they wanted to do. Well, where were they if they were so smart? Why didn't they caution the president that there were no weapons of mass destruction and that what we were indulging in a war on was based largely on imagination and folly? 303-382-1150. Michael in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Enid, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I'm quite concerned when I hear Democrats talk about impeaching the president of the United States for doing his job. It is his job to protect this nation. You cannot and you will not be able to appease the terrorists in the Middle East who absolutely hate this nation, whether you have a Republican or a Democratic president. So, it, you know, just as I thought that it was ridiculous to impeach President Clinton, and it was nothing but a...
Do you not think it's an impeachable offense when a president lies, misleads the Congress, misleads the public for the reasons for going to war, and you know, and lives are lost? You don't think that that's impeachable?
Well, if that was the case, it is. But we have no evidence that President Bush lied. We have absolutely no evidence.
He misled the Congress and he misled the American public.
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. What about those 16 words in the State of the Union address where he knew that that was false information about Iraq going to Africa to buy enriched uranium? Let's start there. What about that, Michael?
Enid, 16 words are not enough to impeach the president.
Wait, what? Those are lies. Those were lies. I want to tell you something, Michael. He used those lies to try to sell the war. And now what you want to say is, oh, it's just 16 words. We know. So what?
I'm going to say that you know, let me put it this way.
How can you defend? I want you to defend his lies. Defend the President Bush's lies. I want to see if you can do it.
If they continue to pick up this pity fight, let's face the facts. Most Americans understand the threat against this nation. It is about the security of this nation.
How did going to war with Iraq make us more secure? The argument is that it actually made us less secure. Our first responders are over there, not over here. We have spent no more money shoring up the containers that come into this country. We've spent no more money guarding our nuclear resources, guarding our water supply. In fact, we have less money to do it, and our defenses are stretched thin in Afghanistan so that the terrorists who are out there who have hurt us the most are still out there. and they are flourishing. How did this make us more secure to go to war against a country on the basis of a bunch of lies?
Do you think that Democrats are going to win an election with
I'm asking
that?
You, I'm asking you the question.
You
justify it.
You are not going to win an election with that.
That you're not that answering the question. How, Michael, we can't have a discussion. How did we become more secure when our resources have been drained on a distraction? How are we more secure as a nation?
It's not a distraction, Ina. Saddam Hussein was a... He was a grave and dangerous.
Not when Clinton, right now, because Clinton's not the president. I hate to disabuse you of the idea, Michael, but Clinton is no longer the president, and he hasn't been the president in a while. How was Saddam Hussein a direct threat to us right now? He had no WMDs. He was under tremendous scrutiny. How was he a direct threat to the United States of America?
How did he get the Kurds?
Michael, it's impossible to have a discussion with you. You don't answer any of the questions.
No, but
I'm asking you, how was he a direct threat, and how are we more secure? Tell me. Give me one example.
I'm going to tell you how we are more secure.
How?
We are more secure because we got a man out of a country who had a clear-cut agenda against this nation.
Oh, please. And we supported him the whole time. Gee, I mean, it's impossible. There's no way to have a conversation with this man. 303-382-1150. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150 KNRC.
Come on, Lenny, let's hit the slopes.
I don't wanna. Last time we did this, I broke a lot of bones.
You know, Mike Newland once said, genius is perseverance in disguise.
I was in traction for 3 weeks.
Do you think your business bankers at First National Bank of Colorado balk in the face of a new challenge?
You told me to ski off a cliff. I landed in Utah.
Lenny, the reason you love banking with them is because you admire their tenacity.
At First National Bank of Colorado, we have a strong history of tackling problems on the local level while providing the national reach needed to solve Denver's unique business challenges. For everything from cash management to commercial loans, trust the business bankers at FNBC to use honesty, integrity, and good old-fashioned hard work to get it done.
You're right. I'm going to attack this slope the way they attack problems.
Lenny?
What?
Watch out for that tree.
That's going to bruise.
For all your commercial banking needs, turn to the experts at First National Bank of Colorado. To set an appointment, call 303-308-3860.
You used to be able to clean up in the stock market. Today, if you want to clean up, the only sure thing I know of is to use my vacuum. Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL with the violet blue dirt search cleans so well, even dust mites come up in one sweep. You can try one free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. The Orrick XL is the blue chip investment for those who really want to clean up. 1-800-989-4200.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Black Tie Colorado is teaming up with local nonprofits to promote the needs of our local charities. Their website, www.blacktie-colorado.com, lists organizations looking for donations for specific items. $50 relocates one prairie dog for Prairie Dog Action, and $25 buys one toner cartridge for Girls Incorporated of Metro Denver. Support local charities and donate by going to www.blacktie-colorado.com and click on Make the Difference.
John Elway is going to the playoffs. They'll help pay off your current vehicle and get you into a new 2004. Same low, no haggle prices, same price match, plus a money-back guarantee. John Elway, honest.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, so just a few more minutes, and then Doug Kellett takes over, and then after that, Dominic and Billy. And then we start all over again. Start your mornings from 6 to 10 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. 10 to noon is Bill O'Reilly. Noon to 3, moi. 3 to 6, Doug, and 6 to 9, Dominic and Billy, and then Lionel, and then Alan Combs, and then Ernie Brown, and then we start all over again in the mornings. 303-382-1150. We're talking about politics. We're talking about Bush's budget buster. Oh, the second executive from the BBC resigns in the wake of this report that sort of clues Tony Blair on the same sort of issues facing George W. Bush that the BBC was too uninformed. It wasn't substantial enough in questioning the sexed up intelligence that made the case for war against Iraq. I predict, my feeling is that eventually this inquiry that Lord Hutton was in charge of is going to be seen as a whitewash, that in fact the Brits had the same compromised intelligence, that the same kind of politicized intelligence that we had, and that there was a big pressure on them to support us in this war. 303-382-1150. That's what I think is going to happen eventually. But right now, Bush and Blair enjoys a big bounce from being cleared by this report, and the BBC is under a lot of pressure, and the number one and the number two guy of the BBC, both of them have resigned. Paul in Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. You asked a while ago why the reporters weren't asking the hard questions. I wanted to remind you what happened to Helen Thomas when she got up and asked a probing question of the president, and she was banished to the back of the room, never to be asked again.
And here she was. The tradition in the White House press corps is that the more seniority you have, and nobody had more seniority than Helen Thomas, you're supposed to start and end the press conference, and they completely made her irrelevant. They completely sidelined her. You're absolutely right about that.
Well, I can't believe it, more of it hasn't been said about it.
You're right. You're right, Paul. I thank you very much. Well, an example of people who apparently, and this is really sad to realize, don't want to compromise their careers for telling the truth. And this is what you expect of the press corps. This is what you expect will happen, that you expect that the press corps will tell the truth. And I think in the run-up to the war, a lot of people who weren't completely sold on it were looking to their favorite writers, their columnists, their reporters, and most everybody got on the cheerleading bandwagon. Yeah, let's go to war. I was one of the few voices against it, and I'm telling you, I took a lot of flack for it, too. 303-382-1150. But I think I'm going to live today, the day, live to see that it was the right way to go. So you here have Maureen Dowd in her column saying that, quoting Dr. Kay, David Kay, weapons inspector, he told Congress that there's no evidence that I can think of, that I know of, that Saddam collaborated with Al-Qaeda. So there it is. For those of you who don't want to believe that that's the case, it's the case. 303-382-1150. Howard Dean has more delegates because there are super delegates now, right now, than John Kerry. I mean, that could change. And Stanley Greenberg doesn't think that Dean is going to be able to go the distance. So those of you who are Dean supporters, are you willing to accept that yet? If that's the case, will you support John Kerry if he winds up being the candidate? Arianna Huffington loves Judy Dean. She loves her plainness. She loves her simplicity. She believes that she's really an authentic woman, somebody who hasn't been made up to be what she's not, and she very much admires her. Meanwhile, there's been a big shakeup in the dean staff. After losing ground, his big-time manager, the one who's been credited with bringing so many people on board, the one who's been, Joe Trippi, the one who's been credited with being brilliant about using the Internet and the fundraising capacities, really redefining how you do a political campaign, he resigned. He's not going to be sidelined. And what they brought in is a guy who was a very close advisor to Al Gore. Now, listen, what kind of a track record is that exactly? A former Gore aide takes the reins of a suddenly faltering campaign that's looking for a stronger hand. So we'll see what happens there. More as this drama unfolds. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your excellent work today. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for yours. Doug Kellett is up next. Let's have lunch together tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on KNRC, noon to 3, Enid Live. I'll turn you on, but only if you turn me on. Otherwise, it can't possibly happen. Do something generous. Will you leave the world a better place than you found it? And we'll do it all over again tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Doug Kellett up next. I'll see you tomorrow.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Quaker Oatmeal. A Broomfield High School was evacuated for about 90 minutes today after a potentially explosive chemical was discovered in a science lab. Wendy Krajewski of North Metro Fire Department describes the chemical in question.
The chemical is actually a sodium metal, and unfortunately, once it does get reduced to this particular form, it does have some explosive properties to it.
North Metro was called to the Jefferson Academy about 11 this morning after a fist-sized piece of the sodium metal was found. Two bomb experts from the Jeffco Sheriff's Office assisted North Metro in the delicate task of getting the sodium metal out of harm's way.
They took it actually to an athletic field to the west side of the school grounds, and they were able to actually dissolve that chemical with water and render it non-harmful anymore, so it's all resolved.
Krajewski said the sodium was in a glass container whose lid was not tightly fastened. That allowed oxygen in and made the material potentially explosive. Nobody was injured. Classes resumed at about 12:30. The Colorado State Patrol is investigating a fatal car crash in Adams County today. The CSP says the accident occurred just after noon on